And enough of these people. They're a bunch of Christian murdering scum that run giant death factories, keeping babies alive and selling their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? I go out and face these scum. They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green-looking skin, either black or white, doesn't matter. And they run around screaming, we love Satan, we want to eat babies. I have them on video at the Texas State House, just women randomly going, hail Satan, and just praising Satan. When a Democrat group went up there, I mean, folks, this is literally like a demonic invasion. I'm telling you, that's what it is. Or Epstein, who is at the center of the pedophile island. I don't cover modern slavery to lessen the horrible transatlantic slave trade that killed millions of people, tens of millions of people, enslaved hundreds of millions in the aggregate, or the Arab slave trade that was even bigger, or the Roman slave trade, or the Chinese slave trade. I mean, every culture's done it. Doesn't mean it's good. We as a culture said, this is a bad contract. We don't like this. We're not doing this. But the type of slavery now is kids and women of every race, color, and creed, and the most disadvantaged, you know, people that are also grabbed out of countries and taken to islands as slave labor. Foxconn factories, Apple, the suicide nets. I mean, this is bigger than it was at the peak of slavery here in 1800. And every historian, you know, admits that. So we're so busy trying to ban the word lynch because it scares folks, the Irish name and brown paper bags, that we're not focusing in on this. I've got two daughters that are young and a son. And, you know, that's why I won't let them on the internet by themselves, is because there are these predators posing in there. And I've seen, just reading the news every day for years, a pattern where it's almost always local cops, not that they're perfect, but on average less corrupt, that are actually busting the pedophiles. And so many times it's national deputy directors of Homeland Security, top FBI. And from my research, there's almost like pedophile clubs that are taking over government, just like the Catholic Church, to protect themselves and operate. And that's why they're trying to federalize local police so that they can't bust up these networks. You may, as a viewer or listener of the show, already know all this, but other folks don't. They just don't realize the level of evil that we're dealing with. Look at the royal family, all the pedophilia in England, the highest government ministers. They don't even let you in. A lot of the folks, I've been told, don't even like this, but they have to do it to become compromised, or these mafias don't accept you. Kind of like low-level mob will say, you got to kill somebody who's innocent to be a made man. Well, that's just regular organized crime. When you get up to the highest levels of betraying countries and carrying out evil, they go all the way. And you hear about the psychopath that kills people on his own getting in trouble, but the high-level ones, they just run the show. And this rabbit hole, and I remember having John DeCamp, former state senator, former CIA black ops commander in Vietnam on, and he didn't really come on anymore. He's gotten pretty old, has some health issues. I'll just leave it at that. He wrote the Franklin cover-up. Most of what's in that book later came out. And he was on air like 15 years ago going, in Boys Town. And then I tell you, Penn State, they sell the kids out of the football program and rape them. And I took him off air. And it all came out and was true. And, I mean, it's just those of us that aren't attracted to children and aren't attracted to Satanism, we just don't get it. So Lon romanticizes pedophile. This is an Infowars.com story. Salon romanticizes pedophile masturbating over a five-year-old girl. I'm sorry I have to talk like this. This is what's going on in America. Leftist news outlet plays dreamy footage of child as pedophile discusses sick fantasy. Unless you think we're spinning this, here's their own headline. I'm a pedophile, but I'm not a monster. And then in his new article and new videos, Todd Nickerson. Well, that just sounds like a pedo name out of Central Casting. He comes out and just salivates as they mainline. We're people too. Be tolerant of us. Next, it'll be let us teach your kids how we, you know, want them to live. Let us teach your kids about sexuality, which the schools are already doing. Across America, state officials are rebelling. How dare them, against Obama's transgender bathroom decree. And here's the big one. Charlotte Observer. That's the big newspaper. Girls must overcome, quote, discomfort at seeing male genitals in the locker room as they integrate the showers all over the country. This is the mainlining. The sleeping giant needs to awaken. Thanks for all your support. Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle, where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, when you get 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. And it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. It's simple, it's clean, and it's just exciting, and it spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexshowstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We have a just absolutely gigantic show for you today. Bigger than perhaps is responsible than is responsible of me. Saying the fact that we'll never be able to get all this stuff. At a certain point, I just have to give up. At a certain point, I'm just like, you know what? That's enough news for today. And then I just keep finding news. And then I just keep opening tabs and tabs and tabs. Because there's always another angle, always another detail to be discovered. And there's a lot of information coming out right now. Les Wexner's entire deposition has been released in full, hours and hours of content. People are clipping it out. We'll bring you that here momentarily. Of course, Iran continues to be a major topic of conversation. And again, we just have too much to get into. Let's just get into it. Here it is, your daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Thursday, the 19th of February, 2025. Trump signs order to secure phosphorus herbicide supply. United States President Donald Trump signed an executive order aimed at ensuring an adequate supply of elemental phosphorus and glyphosate-based herbicides, citing national defense and food security needs, saying, quote, I find that ensuring robust domestic element phosphorus mining and United States-based production of glyphosate-based herbicides is central to an American economy and national security. Without immediate federal action, the United States remains inadequately equipped and vulnerable. The order invokes the Defense Production Act in instructing U.S. Agriculture Sector, Secretary Brooke Rollins to, quote, determine the proper nationwide priorities and allocation of all material, services, and facilities necessary to ensure a continued and adequate supply of elemental phosphorus and glyphosate-based herbicides. Now, we're going to get back into this because obviously a lot of people in the MAHA movement are not happy about this at all. I'm sort of two minds about it. Because while we need to get rid of glyphosate, the fact is that our food supply has been so thoroughly managed by the big ag companies for the last little while. Like, we actually can't grow food without glyphosate. It sucks, but that is literally the situation that we're in. So, like, because our crops are all GMO and because they all, like, require glyphosate and we get all of our glyphosate from China, it actually is a national security problem that if China could cut off delivery of pesticides, we would not be able to produce food. So it's sort of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. I'm not exactly happy about this, and it coincides with some other ridiculous bills about not even being able to talk about the dangers of pesticides, not able to sue the pesticide companies for causing cancer or anything else, or turning the frogs gay or whatever other, you know, unnatural abominations they create. So I'm not happy about it at all. At the same time, it's just a condition brought about by, it's a consequence of a century of globalism making it to where, yeah, we literally can't feed ourselves. We have to rely on China, and that's a problem. We have to undo it. But it kind of sucks. But, you know, the way that we undo it is by producing our own glyphosate. We should be moving away from it entirely. We'll get back into that. That's a major story today. A lot of people speaking out on it. But here's some good news. Trump names NIH Director Dr. Jay Bhattacharya as acting CDC director. Looks like Secretary of State Marco Rubio will not be the only member of the Trump administration who's multitasking. Jay Bhattacharya, director of the NIH, has been tapped to become the acting director of the CDC after the exit of the former head, Jim O'Neill. So that's very good to see. We love Dr. Jay. And maybe the CDC will actually cure and prevent disease now. Wouldn't that be a novel concept? Here's probably the biggest story of the day. Former Prince Andrew arrested over ties to Jeffrey Epstein. Yet again, the UK absolutely showing us up in this regard. They have arrested the former prince. The brother of King Charles III was arrested early Thursday morning on suspicion of misconduct in public office. The latest stunning development in the ever-widening fallout from his ties to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Andrew was taken into custody at his home in Sandringham Estate in Norfolk around 8 a.m. local time, the morning of his 66th birthday. His 66th birthday. So, yeah, it sounds like we might be in the middle of a Masonic ceremony of some sort. I don't know. It's just a little bit ironic that he's on his 66th birthday. Now, he hasn't been charged with anything yet. They can hold you for 96 hours in the UK and until they charge you or have to let you go. The charge of, you know, improper behavior while in office can potentially hold a punishment of life in prison. I seriously doubt anything like that will happen here. We'll get more into this later because we got to speculate. We got to speculate together, you and I, about what could be behind this and what this is really all about. Or is it real? Or are they actually just punishing him because he committed a crime? That sounds weird that would even be a possibility. But we'll entertain all possibilities and see if we can't figure out what's actually driving the engines. You know, what's actually operating under the hood. Meanwhile, J.D. Vance kicks off Board of Peace speech by nuking AOC after Trump roasts her. I'm tempted to just freeze. Maybe they'll say nice things about me like they do about Congresswoman Cortez. So Donald Trump and J.D. Vance were there to launch the Board of Peace. And, of course, the first thing that they do is they want to start a war with Iran. So the Board of Peace is going to war. And Orwell is spinning in his grave. Finally, U.S. gathers the most air power in the Mideast since the 2003 Iraq invasion. The U.S. is ready to strike Iran, but President Trump hasn't yet decided to do so. The U.S. is sending significant numbers of jet fighters and support aircraft to the Middle East, assembling the greatest amount of air power in the region since the 2003 invasion of Iraq. The U.S. is ready to take action against Iran, but President Trump hasn't decided whether to order strikes yet. Or, if he does order them, whether the aim would be to halt Iran's already battered nuclear program, wipe out its missile force, or try to topple the regime. He also hasn't bothered to explain to us why this is something that we should possibly sacrifice thousands of American lives to achieve. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, you have a little less than 48 hours to get 100 times entries and a chance to win two vehicles and $20,000. You're entered to win no matter what you purchase at thealexjonesstore.com. We can make it simple. Instead of saying 100 times per dollar, basically every cent you spend at thealexjonesstore.com becomes an entry to win one of these cars, either the Ford F-250 diesel. That drawing ends tomorrow, or that raffle ends tomorrow, and the Ford Mustang Shelby GT500. You could win both of those. Both vehicles come with $10,000 in cash. This ends tomorrow at midnight. And starting today, every order also comes with a free 1776 hat. Every order placed funds the operation, keeps Alex Jones on the air. So go now and be the reason Alex, myself, and all of us at InfoWars continue to be on the air and continue to try to explain to people what's actually going on here. And yeah, you get a free 1776 hat, classic design with the Betsy Ross style stars around the 1776 in the, you know, Declaration of Independence script. Just a classic, very stylish hat, and yours absolutely free with any purchase at thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. That's right, you get a free hat. What more could you want? And what could go wrong? All right, we got a lot of breaking news. We got a lot of developments over the last 24 hours. We have a lot of Democrats being absolute idiots. So, you know, just your classic news day here at InfoWars. And I'm wondering where I should start. Let's start with clip five here, because this is probably the newest development. The entirety of the Les Wexner deposition with the House Oversight Committee has been released by the House Oversight Committee in full. It's about 5 hours of content, but people are finding clips and publishing them. We'll go to one of those now. Clip five, and an explosive deposition clip that just surfaced. Les Wexner claimed that he was the financial advisor to the Rothschilds and the Rothschild family. Of course, something that was also proven in the Epstein files, where he says in his own words, "I am an agent of the Rothschilds." And there's also receipts for $25 million that the Rothschilds sent him for undisclosed services. Here's Les Wexner, 88-year-old CEO and accused co-conspirator of Jeffrey Epstein, yesterday during his deposition with the House Oversight Committee. Let's watch.
I think it was his experience at an industrial level, like working for a big company like Bear Stearns, and that he had done personal work for the Rothschild family in France.
Personal wealth management, essentially?
I don't know.
We've seen some reports that he would present himself as a bounty hunter, that he would find people's missing money. Do you recall him saying anything like that?
No. Well, specifically, I talked to Ellie de Rothschild, and so I mentioned that earlier. So he represented their whole family. So there have been a whole bunch of people. Most of them I never would have met, but I knew Ellie. I never met people, but there were people that called me that either insinuated or said they were knew Jeffrey through a financial relationship. And so, I mean, they could have been actors, but at the time, a guy calls me up. I'll give you an example. Because I want you to understand this, because it's so confusing to me. He would say, like, I'm providing financial advice to the founders of Google. I'm providing financial advice to Jeff Bezos. I'm providing financial advice for the chief technologist at Google. And I'm in good company, because these are really smart guys with a lot of money. And you have to put yourself in the mindset of if my attorney said, you know, he was qualified to argue in front of the Supreme Court, I'd believe him. I didn't say to call the Supreme Court and say, tell me, is he really an attorney or did he do this?
Yeah, it's not like a, you know, multi-billionaire CEO ever does due diligence on people that claim extraordinary things. Like, was it perhaps code? Did you ever think to ask him what he meant by financial advice? It's like, yes, I provide financial advice for billionaires all over the globe. If by financial advice you mean underage hookers, then yeah, I'm a prolific provider of the finest financial advice out there, sir. So again, I mean, are we really going to believe this? We're going to believe that a man who founded one of the most successful retail outlets in the history of the world, Victoria's Secret, and all of the other brands that go along with it, the multi-billionaire, signed over a power of attorney and gave billions and billions of dollars to a man that he hadn't vetted because the man just claimed to know people and he never looked into that? Is that what he's saying? Because that's ridiculous. Because that's a very funny claim to make if you expect people to believe it. Totally absurd. Let's go to this next one, clip 46 here. This is Les Wexner being asked about $1.3 billion that Jeffrey Epstein apparently got his hands on. Let's watch.
Epstein stole or otherwise misappropriated several hundred million dollars from Wexner. That misconduct, together with the fees that Epstein paid himself for his services to Wexner, appears to account for virtually all of Epstein's wealth. So several hundred million dollars is a large but not precise figure. To the best of your knowledge, how much exactly did Epstein steal?
I don't know. I don't think I'll ever know.
I'd like to try to understand a little bit better how Epstein was able to steal or misappropriate that many funds. One way, reportedly, is that the trusts that we described earlier, which I know you said you have no recollection of, I just want to be thorough, the trusts that he was trustee of would receive gifts of limited stock, and he would then sell that stock on the New York Stock Exchange and then use a portion of those proceeds for his own personal purposes. Do you have any knowledge or recollection of what I just described?
I'm effing surprised. I'm shocked. I didn't know this.
Is it that you have not previously heard what I just described?
I never heard of it, never saw this document.
And it was publicly reported, I think, by ABC several years ago, but not ever on your radar?
Never.
Okay. The report indicates that it was more than or around $1.3 billion of stock that Epstein moved around that way. Not that he kept all of that money for himself, but the total amount of stock sales was over $1 billion. You have no knowledge or awareness of that.
I don't know the amounts. The only trust that I'm aware of is my wife set up trusts for our kids, you know. So however she set them up in the amounts, I have no idea what's in them then or now.
And then separately, it's been reported that around $20 million of stock and cash were contributed by two of your charitable foundations to one of Epstein's charities. Do you have any knowledge or awareness of that?
Effing shocked. I'm appalled. I never heard that.
Do you know that?
No. Except.
Thank you, Mr. Rusher. We have some additional questions. We have some questions from some of the...
He should ask that demon that lives in his brain to give him some better acting skills. That was, he seemed less upset at learning he lost $1.3 billion than I do if I like misplace my keys for an afternoon. He's like, $1.3 billion? I'm shocked. Anyway, next question. It's like, okay, dude. Oh, you just didn't notice $1.3 billion was missing? So either Mr. Magoo over here somehow stumbled his way into a multi-billion-dollar fortune that just anybody with a wink and a nod could steal from him to the tune of billions of dollars, or he's a cunning, conniving liar. It's one of these two things. Gee, I wonder which it is. I wonder. Let's go to clip 47 or whatever the next one is here. Because he's been asked about Ghislaine Maxwell. What I want to know, maybe the crew can be, you know, going through the transcript here. Was he asked about the demon? When you got a guy who thinks he's possessed under oath, it's a good time to ask him if he seriously thinks he's legitimately possessed by a demon. And if we could get the demon under oath, that would be even better. We'll talk about that in just a second. But let's go to Ghislaine Maxwell or Leslie Wexner being asked about Ghislaine Maxwell. Let's watch.
And for the record, did you have any knowledge of illegal activity by Mr. Epstein prior to his arrest in 2006?
The only thing I recall is my chief of staff told me, and I don't know, he knew press, whether it was the...
Mr. Wexner, the committee is investigating the circumstances surrounding Mr. Epstein and Ms. Maxwell and the trafficking of young women, trafficking and sexual abuse of young women or girls. Did Ms. Maxwell ever introduce you to any young woman or girl?
No, I don't think she ever introduced me to any female or man.
Did Ms. Maxwell ever ask you to introduce a young woman or girl to your friends or associates?
No.
Did you ever introduce any young woman or girl that you met through Ms. Maxwell to any of your friends or associates?
Objection. Assumes in fact, not in evidence.
Your client, so just the urge to answer the question.
That's fine.
Good question. I think the answer is no, but let's...
Did you ever introduce any woman or girl that you met through Ms. Maxwell to any of your friends or associates?
No, never.
Never, not once. That's about young women. I was under the impression Leslie Wexner had a different proclivity. I thought he liked young boys, but I didn't hear them ask about that. Let's go now to clip eight here. This is Whitney Webb, who has had Leslie Wexner's number for years, and you can read all about his shady business activities in her books. But here she is years ago talking about Les Wexner and the demon he brags about giving him advice. Let's watch.
What's so crazy, too, about him being so focused on basically taking control of the leadership of the Jewish American community by basically having it filled with people that he has trained and views that he agrees with or policies or whatever, is that Wexner in 1985 basically is like, yeah, I'm possessed by a demon that tells me what to do. And I have a split personality. And my, the nice part of me is stunted and I'm controlled by like this demon, that tells me what to, he uses a Yiddish word that literally means demon. It's Dibuk, I think is how it's pronounced.
Dibuk, which is actually COVID backwards, right?
I've heard that. I haven't looked into that, but anyway, in the case of Wexner, yeah, that's the word he chooses. There's a lot of words he could have picked in Yiddish that sounded nicer, but he wanted to brag about basically being a demon possessed crazy guy. And who was he catering to there? You know, that's in New York Magazine. And so that's something, that's a segment I put out from the book already. But when you look at it in the context of a guy that's, you know, per the Jewish faith saying that he's possessed by what using the word that in the Jewish faith means like a demon possession, and he's like, yes, my demon controls me, and he's an integral
part. He's an integral part of my consciousness. And the word that he chose is COVID backwards. That's pretty wild. Divuk. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I don't know, maybe that's a coincidence. We'll assume that one's a coincidence. And so there's, again, more videos coming out as 5 hours of conversation occurred with Leslie Wexner yesterday. The whole thing has been released now by the House Oversight Committee. We'll keep bringing you clips as people discover them, but we have a lot more to talk about. I want to get off Epstein here for a little bit. We're going to be joined by Paul Bondar in the third hour. But we have so much other stuff to talk about. I want to talk about this wastewater spill in the Potomac. We've got compilations of the media just flagrantly lying about the most hilarious stuff that I don't know. It's like they think we're stupid. It really, you'll see. I'll show you on the other side the way the media is really having a hard time dealing with the modern, you know, spirit of revelation. They're really not able to handle it the way that they used to be able to. We'll be back on the other side to mock and humiliate them. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this.
Well, way out west, southwest, down in Texas, there's this fella I want to tell you about. Fella by the name of Alex Jones. At least that was the handle his freedom-loving parents gave him, and he made pretty good use of it himself. This Alex Jones, well, he's a straight shooter. He calls himself an info warrior, a globalist killer, even a goblin slayer. He's a truth bomber, dropping nukes of knowledge across radio waves, television sets, and all over the World Wide Web. Many have tried to stop him, shut him up, or silence him, but it never quite worked out. Not for a man like him.
1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
He's a real Paul Revere of the 21st century. A truth teller. Hell, even more honest than old honest Abe Lincoln. That's Alex Jones.
This is reality. Truth is stranger than fiction.
There's a lot about the man that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Not until I tuned into InfoWars, that is. Then things started to become clear.
Are you gonna find these guys? Or, you know, you have any promising, leads?
Leads? Yeah, sure. I'll just check with the, boys down at the crime lab. They, got four more detectives working on the case. They got us working in shifts! Leads.
Now this story that's about to unfold, well, it started back just about the time the Twin Towers in Building 7 collapsed.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
I only mention it because, well, sometimes there's a man. I won't say hero because what's a hero? But sometimes there's a man. And I'm talking about Alex Jones here. Sometimes there's a man. Well, he's the man for his time and place. He fits right in there. And that's, ah, hell, I've done introduced him enough.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself if you sat on the fence to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there. Ah! Yeah!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, we do have so much talked about in just the realm of Jeffrey Epstein, Prince Andrew being arrested, absolutely huge, Les Wexner being deposed, also gigantic. We'll bring you more clips from that as they come in. But, you know, we spend so much time on that sort of stuff and the looming war with Iran that still, you know, menaces us just over the horizon, that, you know, we haven't had time to report on some of the more domestic news that I think we need to get to. Things like the gigantic spill in the Potomac River. Trump, suspicious of Democrat sabotage, orders FEMA to assume control of the Potomac River sewage crisis. This is from somebody named M. McCormick on Substack. And he claims that the sewer spill that is now the largest ecological disaster in American history, I'm fairly sure, like the largest wastewater disaster, like more than anything, as far as I've heard, was on purpose, was an attack, was not an accident, but an act of sabotage. He claims to have seen the break happen for a long time before anybody actually acted on it. And it's, yeah, basically a just a gigantic catastrophe right now. Although I'm not exactly shocked at this. I'm not exactly at a loss for how something like this could have happened. This is going to start happening at a much, much more rapid clip. And not because of one particular cause. It's a lot of different causes. Almost every topic we talk about on a daily basis goes into creating the circumstances for this type of situation. And guys, I had a video in yesterday that was just a little news report about it. I think it said NBC News finally, broke the seal on the Potomac water spill. I want to go to that, just give people an idea of what exactly we're talking about. Let me know if you can bring that in from yesterday's folder. And then we'll go to a bunch of videos to explain how we got to this point. Because it's like you've got all these different pressures and eventually something's going to break. Literally, the tension is too great and something's going to break. And this is DEI, first and foremost, putting people who are not qualified into positions because of who they are, not of their capabilities. Then when those people get into office, they're not as capable as their counterparts, but it's racist to say that. And so they're incentivized, and everybody around them is incentivized to cover up their shortcomings, not admit that they don't know exactly what to do, because if that's the case, it kind of, exposes the lie of DEI in the first place. So they're more incentivized to cover it up. In addition to that, the people that are in charge of just what should be the daily sort of performative, just like everyday running of the infrastructure, are instead spending all of their time doing things like holding press conferences. This is what the governor of Maryland, the spill is in Maryland, the governor of Maryland, while all of this is going on, is busy holding a summit with all of his local government where they're all coming together to announce that they hate ICE and love immigrants. And then you have the money issue where all of our money is being poured into just things that hurt and destroy us, and our actual infrastructure is literally crumbling around us. And so it's not just that our general competency is collapsing, it's undoing decades and decades and decades of deliberate work. The Potomac River was horribly polluted for a long time. There was a major effort to clean it up for decades on end. It actually got to a point where people could swim and fish in the river, technically, but not anymore, and probably not for a long time to come. Why? Because they wanted black people in these positions, and that's all they cared about. I'm not even kidding. I'll show you the clips on the other side, but first, here's a little report just to wrap your mind around what exactly we're dealing with here. Let's watch.
In Washington, it could be one of the largest environmental disasters ever in this country. A massive cleanup is underway after hundreds of millions of gallons of waste spilled into the Potomac. Tom Costello's on the scene.
The river George Washington called the nation's river is tonight off limits and contaminated after a 60-year-old sewage line in Maryland broke open last month, spewing more than 240 million gallons of raw waste into the river, the same river that flows past the Kennedy Center and the Lincoln Memorial and used by boaters, kayakers, high school and college rowing teams.
So you can see some of the toilet paper and the sewage up on the banks there.
There's Riverkeeper Dean Nell-Yokes says the stench and environmental damage are staggering, with E. coli levels more than 10,000 times above EPA quality standards at the time of the spill. While slowly coming down, health experts warn no one should be boating, fishing, or even touching the Potomac. Is drinking water at all affected here?
No. From day one, drinking water has never been impacted by this.
But massive boulders that collapsed into the 6-foot-wide pipe are delaying the repairs. Meanwhile, President Trump has blamed Maryland's Democratic Governor Wes Moore for gross mismanagement, while Moore fired back saying the pipe was federally built and regulated, and the Trump EPA has been slow to respond. The fear now, the Potomac may not be safe for months.
You used to swim right here?
I've swam right here.
Would you swim in here again?
Not for a while.
D.C. Water expects to have the immediate repair job done by mid-March, but overhauling the entire line could take at least 9 months. Tom?
Tom Costello for us. Tom, thank you.
You know, one of the characteristics of first world nations is this little concept that is not existent in third world nations. It's called maintenance. Maintenance. There's a meme going around a while ago. There's literally not a word for maintenance in certain languages like Swahili. There's no word for it. What does that even mean? Well, it means you need to go out of your way to do things when it's not immediately necessary to prolong the life of your infrastructure. It's the classic image, the cartoon. It wasn't even supposed to be political. It's from a kid's book, but it's a character with a hole in their roof. And he goes, you know, when it's raining, you can't fix the hole in the roof because it's raining. You can't go up on the roof to fix it while it's raining. But when it's not raining, then the hole in the roof is not a problem. And so it just never gets fixed. That's the situation we're entering into. Basic total incompetence. And at the end of the day, it's the voters' fault. It really is. Because for some reason, mostly the left in this country gets tricked into putting people in positions that should be just functionaries. They instead put activists in those positions. Probably the best example of this is our perennial foe, Lena Hidalgo, the judge in Harris County. And she replaced a guy who'd been there for like 25 years, who just was a by the numbers, by the book, like got things done. Because a judge in Harris County, their number one job is flood mitigation, disaster mitigation, infrastructure upkeep. And so you want somebody in there that's not political, that isn't going to use their position to try to progress global socialism or whatever. You want somebody who can get the trains running on time, who can get the water flowing, who can manage large numbers of people deploying during an emergency. Like, you just want basic competency. But instead, the left keeps hiring people that are activists for these jobs. It doesn't matter to them. It's just like, give me power and I'll use it for socialism. Of course, with Lena Hidalgo, it was like straight up like that. It was like, we're going to have programs to send people from the government to elementary schools to teach kids about what the government can do for them. It's like, yeah, okay. This position, what you're supposed to do is like take care of floodwaters. What you're going to do instead is use all of the money and time and energy that should be devoted to emergency mitigation, and you're going to spend it propagandizing children into loving socialism. And then the floods, you know, wipe out $1 billion of real estate and cause absolute major catastrophes across the board. And then they just get hired. Then they just get elected again because they give up and give a speech about how opposing them is racist or something. Again, I'm not, you know, this is just what's going on. I don't know what else to tell you. You can hate me for telling you it, but you got to stop voting for these people. So the chair of DC Water, the, you know, institution that is responsible for the largest ecological disaster in American maritime history, her name is Unique N. Morris Hughes. She's the chair of DC Water, which just had the worst sewage spill in American history. If you want to check out her prior experience, would it surprise you that absolutely none of it suggests any experience doing anything or any competency doing anything at all, let alone anything that has to do with, you know, municipal services and water direction? No, her career goes like this. She was the National Forum of Black Public Administrators president. She was in a group called Women in Government Relations. She was in a group called American Education Research Association. She was in the International Leadership Association, the National Association of Black School Educators. And basically nothing but like being shifted from one government board to the next, never having to prove anything or achieve anything. And then she gets into office. And what do you think she does? Do you think she puts her nose to the grindstone and learns everything she needs to about municipal water supply so she can be the best person at her job? Or do you think she immediately just hijacks her position, uses whatever power she can accrue to herself to help her co-ethnics at the expense of fresh water in the Potomac River, or as we're calling it now, the Potomac River. Let's go to clip 42 here. This is her. This is the lady herself, Unique Morris Hughes, the D.C. Water Chair, talking about what her mission is, what her job is, what she sees her role as. Now, her actual role is to try to take care of the water pipes, like the ones that just exploded and is currently spilling millions of gallons of poop into the Potomac River. She's supposed to be taking care of that. Instead, here's what she's doing.
Now, and this is the chain breaking, institutional barrier, disruption work that I'm doing. Now I'm on a mission to make sure black and brown kids have experience in the workplace. So then when they're competing in the market.
That's one less check.
That's one less check. And the playing field is leveled because now they got the internship, the same one for the parent who knew the president of the corporation. Now the playing field is level, but that
The playing field is level. Unfortunately, the playing field has also been flooded with human excrement. It's a level playing field. It's just not a playing field that you can spend too much time in without coming down with a disease or two. Okay, so that's her priority, is making sure black kids get internships, not making sure black kids are qualified for internships, not making sure internships go to promising young individuals so they can maximize their potential. Just, you know, because she can't actively hurt white people, then this is the next best thing. Bowser declares Potomac sewage spill an emergency, seeks federal aid for cleanup. Yeah, I bet you do. I bet you do. Let's go to clip 33 here, because this is the manager of DC Water. So this is the tag team. We got Unique up here, a permanent board member of things, just no experience, no capability, and is not shy about being like, now that I'm in power, my job is to help black people get jobs they don't deserve. Great. Thank you. Let's go to clip 33 here. This is the other member of the tag team of idiots, David Gaddis. And here he is talking about his mission for DC Water, clip 33. David Gaddis, DC manager, DC Water manager. Let's see what he has to say about the changes he's made to the office.
You know, when I arrived at DC Water, this was an organization that looked very similar to our industry. It was predominantly, you know, white male at the top. But this is a utility that's, you know, more than 70% people of color work at this utility. And I really believe, and I still believe, and it has been fantastic. The outcomes have been fantastic. But the people at the top, the executives, the chiefs in that C-suite, they should look like the employees that they serve and that they work with. And the same thing with the community. And so my executive team, you know, looks exactly like the community. It looks like the employees, the staff, you know, be it people of color, women, men, and it's just a fantastic team that has come together to do a lot of great things here at DC Water and in the community for the customers.
I think that video was made before the giant ecological disaster with the poop in the river. I have the feeling that was just before. Because you notice they're not bragging about it now, are they? You notice that when a giant ecological spill happens, you don't see a bunch of people going on TV and going, well, you know, this whole office is 82% black people, right? I mean, this giant spill, maybe the first thing we should talk about is the fact that everybody in the position of authority and in management in charge of this, they're all black guys, all of them. No. It's only when things are going well. It's only when you can say that, you know, things are going perfectly, then you want to brag about the demographics of your office. But when it turns out you're all utterly incompetent and care more about covering up disasters than actually fixing them, you don't want to talk about it anymore. Because one of two things has occurred here. Well, a series of events has occurred that's undeniable. It's white guys were in charge. black liberal leftist ethno-supremacist activist got elected, decided that white people bad, brown people good, hired a bunch of brown people. And now it's an ecological disaster, and they're begging the Fed to come in and rescue them and save them. Now, either that's because there's something intrinsic about black people running something that it can't work, or it's because instead of making a choice that was best for the city, and instead of making a choice as to who to hire based purely on meritocracy, they're making those hiring decisions on the basis of race, and therefore choosing unqualified people, and everything's going badly. So in that case, it would be less about the actual, you know, intrinsic capabilities of the people involved, and more about the fact that the system breaks down when it's hijacked by racist activists who use their position to discriminate against white people, regardless of the consequences. So I'm willing to go with that second suggestion, because I think that's what's actually going on here. I'm just pointing out that if you're going to brag about the racial demographics of your office and say that it's that racial demographic that is the reason why you're doing so well, when you're not doing well, you don't then get to say, well, demographics have nothing to do with it. So if you're going to make your success about the race of the people in the office, when that success turns to bitter failure and embarrassing catastrophe, then I think you also have to take the blame on the basis of race as well. You understand? Or you can just hire the best people and not worry about the race they are, and then have a functioning water system. I guess it's up to you. I guess the choice is yours. But I swear I've made this argument for 5 years in a row at this point. Because you'd have, like, Houston, again, is the best example with Lena Hidalgo. And the same year that Lena Hidalgo was elected, there was, like, this big sweeping victory. And they would, you know, Houston Chronicle or Houston Press or whatever it was, had this big spread. And it was all the black female judges that were brought in to replace the old white judges that used to, you know, judge by the law. And instead, you got a bunch of activist women and not qualified for their jobs getting in. And they, you know, published the cover and say, isn't this a wonderful thing? But then, like, the crime rate explodes and it's like a giant catastrophe and there's, you know, huge problems. And so I'm just going, well, okay, weren't you bragging about this a second ago? Could that have something to do with it? I just want to be consistent here. Okay. So if you're going to brag about your success being a consequence of your race, what happens when it turns out that success was an illusion and you're actually incredibly incompetent and failing to a degree that is really, like, unimaginable, like really unimaginable. Like, it's going to take a very, 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 very long time to clean up this mess, if it's ever really fully cleaned up. Because remember, it's not just the human waste is disgusting and disease-ridden, but at this point, it's all of the supplements that we take, like all of the, maybe the supplements, maybe that's not a bad idea. Maybe if I was taking supplements from the alexjonesstore.com, maybe it'd be a good thing, their sewer spill. Instead, everybody's on SSRIs, antidepressants, and all this other crap. And so it's going to, like, destroy the ecology of the Potomac River to a degree that way worse than it already is. You know, the Potomac River is another place where the pesticides turned all the fish hermaphrodites. Look up Potomac River hermaphrodite fish. And this is from like 10 years ago. Same thing happens to the frogs. The pesticides are turning the fish gay. And we've seen things like the shrimp off the coast of the UK, where their wastewater is disposed of. The shrimp there, the fish there, develop suicidal tendencies because there's so much SSRI, you know, neurotoxins in our waste. Like, we take so much of it. Just the excess that's flushed out of us on our waste gets into the water supply, affects the shrimp's brains to where they no longer have a functioning friend-enemy distinction. That part of their brain has been crushed to such a degree that they'll swim right up to predators without fear. Intersex sunfish found in Potomac Basin from 2007. Scientists studying intersex fish in the Potomac River Basin have found that the abnormality for the first time in red-breast sunfish, the third species affected by a mysterious phenomenon, federal fish pathologists say. Intersex fish possess both male and female characteristics. For example, some male fish have been found with immature eggs in their testes. Yeah, it's horrifying. And that, of course, is the consequence of pesticide runoff. But also, like, do you understand how like, symbolic it is that shrimp commit suicide when they're put on the same drugs that, like, 75% of liberal women are on? 50. I think 50 is the actual, or is it 50 of the total female population? And it's higher in the liberal females. Regardless, the effect, one of the effects of these SSRIs, the brain chemical altering medicines, is it actually deadens your ability to recognize threats. Remember, the same part of your brain that, like, recognizes threats also is, like, the part of your brain that responds to religious incantations. Like, there's something spiritual about this in kind of a weird way. It's the same center of your brain, I think, is, like, disgust. That's another one. But isn't that symbolic? Isn't that sort of, aren't we all the shrimp at the end of the day? That we should be able to recognize threats to us. We should be able to recognize when people are lying to us. We should be able to recognize when the lion is at our door growling and lusting after our blood. Like, shouldn't we be able to recognize that and react adequately to it? And instead, we find, especially amongst liberal women, they are the ones actually embracing and bringing in the very people that then cause them harm. Just like the shrimp that's had that little part of its little shrimp brain ground down by the drugs in the water to the point that it can't even recognize that a shark is an enemy, and it just swims right up to it and gets eaten. Not a coincidence. Not a coincidence. A very telling natural metaphor, I think. We're going to get into more on the other side, having to do with CBS News and just this ridiculous charade of James Tallarico and this clearly manufactured scandal to try to give him media attention that he couldn't earn for himself. And the whole thing is just, like, flagrant, like, obviously a gigantic scam, and so many people are falling for it, and it's infuriating, and nobody should have ever fallen for this, but people are eager to believe lies, especially about Donald Trump and his administration, even when the lies themselves don't make any sense. I'll tell you about it on the other side. Believe it or not, Jasmine Crockett will be our voice of truth and wisdom in this situation. That's how bad it is.
Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months, where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle. You get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, what, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever, hey, patriots know. And it's just exciting, spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. You don't want to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, Share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach the people, and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead.
Welcome back, folks. Second hour is on. This is the War Room. I don't even know how to intro this next video, other than to say, I don't know, these people think you're stupid. They think we're all stupid. And I just can't believe the world that we're living in. Really, this is my takeaways. I can't believe how bad it's gotten. This is Tom, or whatever his name, Pritzker, one of the Pritzker felons, talking to somebody on a mainstream media platform. Let's just roll it.
I haven't suggested that Donald Trump is Hitler. I wouldn't say
I don't think any Democrat has. I think it's a smear that they project back on to critics. But I J.D. Vance called Donald Trump cultural heroin. He called him America's Hitler. Yeah. I mean, the attacks on Donald Trump as a fascist came from three generals who worked for him. I mean, the most brutal critiques have come from people that have seen him far more closely than you or I combined.
I don't think any Democrats have ever called Trump Hitler. I can't think of a single time. I try to think of Hitler, huh? No, I haven't heard that in a while. Are you kidding me? Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see why I have no words for this? That I just can't believe that we live in a world where Nicole Wallace would think that that was something to say that she should be saying. What do we even say? What do we even say at this point? Nothing. We just show them their own words right back at them. Let's go to clip 44.
I haven't suggested that Donald Trump is Hitler. I wouldn't say
I don't think any Democrat has. I think it's a smear that they project back on to critics.
What is the natural extension, Justin, if he pursues this to Harvard and beyond?
There was an authoritarian leader several decades back called Adolf Hitler. Hitler came to power and the scientists left.
The military survive in that climate.
In the same way that it happened in Russia with Stalin, the same way it happened with Hitler, eventually you get generals and admirals that are in there that only tell the leader what he or she wants to hear.
To the extent that the rule of law and an assault on the rule of law was an obscure, intangible thing, we're now seeing it in action.
If you look back in history, you can see very similar parallels taking place that took place in other countries that really went down that authoritarian road, including in pre-World War II Nazi Germany, when Hitler and Nazi officials basically took over Frankfurt University, which was the bastion of independent thought and progressive thinking and independent thinking, which is what, you know, Hitler didn't want. And so, again, this is what authoritarians do. They try to control all of the aspects of social life.
When Trump talks about peace and Putin talks about peace, it's autocrats getting their way. That's it. And Mussolini and Hitler said they were being the purveyors of peace.
I resisted for a long time analogies to Hitler's Germany. I've got in my Substack today, though, that it's really uncanny. The same episode where Hitler, early in his tenure, before he's totally taken over the government, some local prosecutors go after his brown shirts. And they convict them, sends them, and then he releases them. It's really the same thing.
Throwback to what?
Yeah.
Throwback to what? Poisoning the blood.
I mean, that is literally Hitlerian
Vermin.
Rhetoric.
Right.
You know, and I understand.
What do people think of what happened to us? The parallel here is to maybe show up on the shores and say, no, we'll go with Hitler. I mean, what do they think about the switching of sides with the turning of who occupies the Oval Office? I believe every voter who casts a vote, regardless of who they vote for, has to know that Donald Trump believes Hitler did some good things.
Yeah, Democrats never ever called Trump Hitler. They would never do such a thing. They also said they didn't lock you down. The vaccine mandate was never real. That didn't exist. They didn't spend 2 years talking about Russiagate and trying to impeach Trump. None of that happened. They didn't open up the border. What are you talking about? Orwell, once again.
Thanks for all your support. Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, when you get 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. And it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. It's simple, it's clean, and it's just exciting, and it spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, this is The War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on Band.video and X worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room, Infowars.com, Band.video. Let's get into this, because This needs an explanation for people that haven't been following it, even though it really shouldn't. This shouldn't require any explanation to anybody. But this is kind of the thing. This is the world that we live in. They just lie with impunity. And they figured this out. And I think that might be the big takeaway for the Democrats. Everything I'm seeing from them is like they realized that, like, they can just lie with impunity. And I know that it's been that way for a while, but when you think about the fact that they are now announcing their plan to take the Abigail Spanberger campaign strategy that worked so well in Virginia and export it, you know, nationwide. And again, the strategy they used was pretend she's a moderate and then rule like an extremist. In other words, lie about your intentions because you know that nobody would vote for you if you were honest. And so you lie about what you intend to do. You lie about your political position or your policies until you're in office, and then you just do whatever you want and you impose the most, you know, insane policies you could ever imagine. And the media covers it up for you and downplays it. And anytime there's any pushback or negative reaction to your policies, it won't, you know, it's a very simple strategy. So let's say Alison Spanberger passes some law about, you know, renewable energy. And so your energy bill spikes. The way I would report that is, you know, change in law causes suffering amongst the people of Virginia as their energy bills spike. The way the left will cover it is MAGA latches on anger to cause problems for Abigail Spanberger. It'll be another right-wing, hate brigade comes after Abigail Spanberger over her commitment to climate, rescuing. It's very simple. And so they figured out that they can do this in a way that requires no subtlety, that isn't something that they feel the need to, like, cover their tracks. They figured out that they can just lie absolutely right to your face. And the left, like, their constituents are either okay with it and understand it and approve of it as a strategy, as they have for a while. I mean, they are just literally dishonest people, and they are narcissistic and egotistical. And you hear them all the time. I mean, they think they know better than you. And so in their minds, lying to you is acceptable. because if you knew what they were doing, you would try to stop them. That's because you don't know what's good for you. They know what's good for you. So they need to lie to you to get in office, to do what you wouldn't let them do if you knew they were going to do it. It's really not that complicated, but it is that insidious. And they've been caught doing this exact thing. I bring it up all the time because it was personal, frankly. Jimmy Flanagan here in Austin was running to be a city councilman, and there was a Facebook group with a bunch of leftist Antifa types, socialist progressives, and they were saying this Flanagan guy is too moderate. He's not extreme enough. He's not socialist enough. So Jimmy Flanagan's chief of staff, campaign manager, responds saying, guys, he is radical. Guys, he is extreme, but he's not going to get elected if people knew what he was going to do. So we're going to maintain a moderate position for the campaign, but don't counter signal him, because once he's in office, trust me, I'm one of you guys. I'm with you guys. I'm in charge of his whole thing. He agrees with us, but he can't say that because they won't elect him otherwise. And he's saying this like, guys, this is our strategy. Isn't this a good strategy? In public, on Facebook, with his name. So don't just think I'm like taking, you know, my observation of their actions and applying, you know, interpretation to it. You could do that and you'd come to the same conclusion. But I'm saying they actually say this in their own words. They actually write to each other, guys, they would never get elected if we were honest. So we have to lie. And so they're doing that in like a million different ways now. The Late Show and Stephen Colbert and James Tallarico, this fake Christian CIA cutout from Texas, have adopted this strategy as well. And again, the reason I'm saying it like this and laying it out like this is because I really do think that all of this is part of the same trend. And it's a part of this trend that really wouldn't have been possible a couple decades ago. And it's probably been possible for a little bit now, but it's only possible with the total degradation of the American people. Like, we're too stupid now. On average, you know, as a population, we're too stupid and immoral and misled to actually hold people to account. And again, hopefully you kind of understand what I'm trying to express here. But it's the idea that the only incentive not to lie that politicians have is the idea that if they get caught lying, the constituents will no longer trust them and not vote for them anymore. But what happens when your constituents approve of the lie or don't care that you're lying or never find out that you're lying because they think that the right wing is, you know, evil, and so they never listen to anybody except for the left, the mainstream media, who are lying to them? Like, what do you do when they can lie with impunity? When somebody can say, I'm running as a moderate, I'm going to rule as a moderate. You know, I don't hate Republicans. I'm a Democrat, but with a small D, like, you know, I'll run things like a functionary. And then they get in office and it's just like, release all the prisoners. Rape is no longer illegal. But bring in as many foreigners as we possibly can, reorganize the congressional districts so Republicans no longer have any representation. You know, let's send a transgender counselor into every elementary school to try to seduce children. Like, these are all things that they actually did in Virginia the first week that Abigail Spanberger got into office. And no, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not kidding. Look up the man with the beard and the dress that is now an official government employee and a counselor in charge of, you know, education programs there in Virginia. Now, typically, people that thought they voted for a moderate and instead got an extremist would feel insulted at that. They'd feel lied to. They'd feel outraged. They would think like, well, what the hell? If you'd said you were going to do this, we never would have voted for you. What happens if they're never told about the extreme policies that are going into place? Or if they are told, it's told in a way that makes it seem like, well, it's just, you know, something that happened and nothing anybody can do about it. And it's not that this is an extreme measure. It's actually a very reasonable measure. It just had some unintended consequences. And so their whatever outrage they would feel about being betrayed and lied to and tricked never manifests. And they just keep falling for it over and over. I really don't know what to do with this at this point. And again, the reason I'm giving this big long lead in to this story is because this story is such a crazy example of this, where absolutely nothing about it is true. Nothing about it is factual. Nothing about it makes any sense at all if you really think about it. But it's playing on people's preconceived notions, their preordained biases. It's villainizing people that are already set up as villains in the mainstream media. And so to lay it out for you, exactly what happened is Stephen Colbert hosts the late night show. Nobody watches the late night show. In fact, he was canceled last year and yet is still there for some reason. But the show's so expensive and it doesn't bring in any audience. Nobody watches it. Nobody cares. Nobody could tell you who's been on the late night show in the last 3 years. It doesn't make news. Nobody watches it. It doesn't matter. In reality, it really doesn't matter. The only place it does get attention is online. The online audience for clips from late night shows significantly larger and more widespread than boomers still watching or people programming their TiVo. I don't even know if that exists anymore, but nobody watches it live. And so what do you do if you want to, you have this platform that's technically a huge platform, but nobody really watches it, but you want to make a big splash. You really want to give a political candidate the biggest bump you can. And so what they do is they film an interview with James Tallarico, and then they upload it online, the only place that it would get views anyway. And they make an announcement saying, Donald Trump ordered the FCC to take down this interview. We were going to air an interview with a Democrat, but Trump's FCC stepped in and told us we're not allowed to show this interview. A total, abject, blatant lie. A blatant lie in every way. In every way. Trump's FCC had nothing to do with this. There's not a law that says you can't have Democrats. It was actually, well, I'll let people involved actually explain what actually happened here. But it is just a pure, cynical, like blatant and naked propaganda PR stunt. Never happened. The interview was not pulled. Nobody said it couldn't do it. But for all day yesterday on Drudge, the top headline in red was the interview they don't want you to see. The interview they tried to take down, but it's here. And it's like, okay, first of all, if they wanted to take it down, then they wouldn't want it uploaded either. Like, they had the ability to stop it from airing. They'd also have the ability to stop it from, the only way it would get views is if it was online. And if this big attention was drawn to it, this is obvious. But like, I guess it's not a crime to lie about, we're not allowed to show this video. But like, it kind of should be. Because the damage has already been done. This James Tallarico guy that nobody would have paid any attention to, wouldn't have made a splash, nobody would have watched it, nobody would have cared. Instead, it got millions and millions and millions of views. And this dumbass's mental poison has been poured into the ears of millions and millions of Americans who went into it thinking, I'm watching something that the big bad powers that be, the tyrants, are trying to keep from me, but I'm going to see the information they don't want me to see. It's totally fraudulent. Entirely fraudulent, but the damage has been done. And again, Drudge red linked the interview they don't want you to see. Here's what actually happened. CBS denies it pulled Stephen Colbert's James Tallarico interview. CBS is denying an accusation from Stephen Colbert, the network's top comic and host of The Late Show, that it prevented him from airing an interview with Texas Democrat Senate candidate James Tallarico. Colbert said during his Monday show, he told viewers that attorneys for CBS told him in no uncertain terms that, quote, we could not have him on the broadcast, referring to Tallarico. Not only could I not have him on, I could not mention me not having him on. The host continued, and because my network clearly does not want us to talk about this, let's talk about it. Oh man, he's such a rebel. It's like, the network doesn't want you to see this, but they can't stop me. I'm going to show them. It's just a lie. It's just an abject, flagrant lie. CBS, in a statement to Hill, said the Late Show was not prohibited by CBS from broadcasting the interview with Representative James Tallarico. The show was provided legal guidance that the broadcast could trigger the FCC equal time rule for the two other candidates, including Representative Jasmine Crockett, and presented options for how the equal time for other candidates could be fulfilled. It was Late Show itself, CBS said, that decided to present the interview through its YouTube channel with on-air promotion on the broadcast rather than potentially providing the equal time options. So CBS was like, yeah, of course you can interview James Tallarico. It's just he's in a race. There are other candidates. The equal time clause means that we can't, as a national, you know, syndicated broadcast network, we can't just provide, you know, endless campaign material for free for one candidate, not another, because then it becomes, you know, whatever the term is, you know, in-house campaign contributions, whatever it is, where it's not money, but it's the equivalent of money. You know, more attention and awareness than you could pay for. They're providing that to one candidate, not another. That's illegal. You're not allowed to do that. So all they said was you can interview James Tallarico. It's just you also have to interview Jasmine Crockett at a certain point because she's the other candidate. And it's an unfair advantage for CBS, this massive corporation, to provide James Tallarico so much attention, but not send it out. Yeah. James Tallarico's banned interview. Oh, it was too intense. It was too cool. He was too smart. They couldn't let him. Yeah, look at the attention. This is people searching James Tallarico. Just shot up like a rocket, which is the point. Now scroll up a little bit, guys. Generational backfire. Wow, they tried to stop him, but instead it made him more popular. Those fools, those idiots. Meanwhile, nobody tried to stop him. Nobody from the FCC reached out. Nobody from the Trump administration said, don't have this guy on. Nobody from CBS said, you're not allowed to have this guy on. Never happened. He got the attention. He's playing this up. They're acting like it's a victory. I find it sickening. I find the manipulation and the underhandedness and the duplicity and the deceitfulness, I find it all sickening. Do other people? I don't know. I don't know. There it is. Yeah. From Drudge Report. All, you know, red caps. Interview they don't want you to see. Colbert torches CBS. Feud plays out on air. Dems rake in millions after nixed. After the interview was nixed. The interview wasn't nixed. It's just, again, just a flagrant, open, naked manipulation. Psychological operation. And millions of Americans are out there today thinking that James Tallarico just got a victory over the Donald Trump administration because Trump tried to stop him from speaking out because he hates the First Amendment. And James Tallarico, the hero, and Stephen Colbert, the genius, they stood up for free speech. I mean, it's like these people, man. So let's go to couple of these videos. Let's go to clip 30 first, because here you can see, yeah, after the FCC banned our Colbert interview, didn't ban it. So, like, again, they have learned that they can lie. They have learned they can lie with absolute impunity. What he's admitting right there is fraud. That tweet that we just saw is literally an admission and bragging about fraud. He just said we raised $2.5 million because the FCC banned our interview. The FCC didn't ban the interview. They made that up and lied to people in order to solicit donations. That's called fraud. If I go around saying I'm fighting cancer, will you donate to my cancer charity? And then I just spend it on a car for myself. I have committed fraud. These people are going around saying we were censored. The FCC tried to stop us. Give us money to fight back against this totalitarian regime. That is a lie. And he's just admitting there that they made $2.5 million off this lie. Maybe he should be arrested for campaign finance fraud. Because the people don't care. I don't know why people don't care that they're lied to like this. I don't know why Democrats accept their politicians just lying straight to their faces, then taking their money and laughing about it, but like that's supposed to be the backstop. That's supposed to be the thing that disincentivizes this type of behavior, but it doesn't exist anymore. So that's what they've learned. They've learned it doesn't matter. We can run as a moderate, rule as a radical. Nobody will know the difference. Nobody will know any better. They'll keep voting for us. We can say that this is a banned interview, total lie, but it'll drive eyes and it'll get us money and nobody will care, even if it comes out. So I don't know what we do about this, but this is absolutely a lie. And the funniest part is that it's Jasmine Crockett, of all people, that are exposing the lie. So I guess let's first go to clip 19. This is Jasmine Crockett, who's also a Senate candidate from Texas, calling Tallarico and Colbert liars and saying that Trump and the CBS and CBS are the ones telling the truth. Obviously, let's watch. 19.
This cast of characters, Arthur Young, Ruth Forbes, 19. Payne Young.
Information suggesting that the federal government did not shut down this segment, number one. That is my understanding, that the federal government didn't shut this down. And we will do an official statement once we get another official statement that we anticipate is going to be coming from Paramount. All right? So we will read what they say, and then we'll go from there. It is our understanding that Colbert, either Mr. Colbert or CBS, decided to make this statement from Paramount. And this was because of a fear that the FCC may say something to them and that there may have been advice to just have
so the audio is not very good, but she's just repeating what I told you earlier, that CBS said, look, you can have James Tallarico on, but he is a candidate. There is this fair use clause. You got to provide, you know, an equal amount of time to his opponents. Yeah, that's what happened. And Colbert lied about that. Oh, they banned the interview. They didn't want you to see this. They said in no uncertain terms, he's not allowed to come on. Total, abject, flagrant lie. Let's go to clip 30 here. This is a extremely clear example of how the MSM lies and pushes these false narratives, even though they know it's not true. Clip 30.
CBS released a statement today saying, quote, the Late Show was not prohibited by CBS from broadcasting the interview with Rep. James Tallarico. CBS made the decision to bow to Trump's FCC and basically blocked Stephen Colbert from airing his interview with a Texas Democratic candidate. CBS pulled his interview on Stephen Colbert's show just before it was supposed to air. The reason that CBS pulled Colbert's interview with James Tallarico was because of a new kind of made up rule by Donald Trump's FCC chair, Brendan Carr. Brendan Carr's new rule would be designed to intimidate talk shows and late night comedy shows out of featuring political guests.
They could go ahead and move forward with the interview of James Tallarico. They just needed to offer me equal time. I did not get a request from the Colbert show to go on.
So again, she's just lying, and they just are lying. What, you know, what else am I supposed to say? I can tell you they're lying. I can't make you care that they're lying to you. I can't make it matter to you that they would so offensively misrepresent everything going on here. Like, I almost feel bad for Jasmine Crockett in all of this. And I think Jasmine Crockett is the worst, but honestly, she's better than James Tallarico. She's not slimy as him. She's more upfront. Maybe we need to get Jasmine Crockett on. Oh, but then would we have to have James Tallarico? Dang it. What do we do? So, I don't know. The Democrats have realized they don't have to tell the truth. No one's going to make them, and their constituents don't care. So, just get used to more of this. To get used to a bunch of Democrats acting like they're fighting the power and standing up. Oh, and by the way, didn't Trump just force CBS to be sold to his friend, and this is the type of crap they're pulling on him?
Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, because is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I was going, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, what, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever the store. Hey, patriots know. And it's just exciting. Spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. You don't want it to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach the people, and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead. The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies. Thanks for all your support. Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, when you get 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, that's all that's left, to get both vehicles. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. And it's a ring of, what, 13 stars around 1776. It's simple, it's clean, and it's just exciting, and it spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Les Wexner was deposed by the House Oversight Committee yesterday, and today they published the full five-hour video of the event. And people are finding some very interesting clips, and we'll go to some of those here in just a second. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is your one-stop shop for all sorts of amazing merchandise, whether it's the hats and the shirts and the pullovers, the hoodies. It's all fantastic, the highest quality out there and available, really just like the best. I have like six of our hoodies. I wear them all the time. I have one in my car in case it gets cold. There, I got InfoWars hoodies all over the place, stashed strategically around in case it gets too cold and I need something on a moment's notice. And right now, no matter what you order at thealexjonesstore.com, you're getting a free hat. Every order comes with a free 1776 hat. Every order placed at thealexjonesstore.com, of course, keeps our operation on the air and in the fight. And it is your last couple hours to get 100 times entries and a chance to win two vehicles and $20,000 For every dollar you spend at thealexjonesstore.com, you get entered to win either or both of the cars. Somebody's got to win. It might as well be you. And you get this very cool free hat. I mean, sometimes people give out hats that you don't even want, but this is a hat I would buy. This is a hat I would wear around all the time. There's something about it. Simple, patriotic, classy, in the black trucker style with the 1776 in the handwritten script with the Betsy Ross stars around it. It's just a beautiful hat. It's yours for free. No matter what you order at thealexjonesstore.com, go today, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. So let's get back into Les Wexner, shall we? Let's get back into Wes Lexner and what we've learned from him. Let's go first to this. This is crazy. This was found by somebody named Reese J. Gorman on X, where apparently Les Wexner's attorney had some very sharp words for the old man, because apparently Les Wexner was answering more thoroughly than the lawyer thought advisable. And so he was caught on hot mic whispering some advice to the elderly gentleman. Let's watch.
It was just regularly done.
Answer the question.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if you could make that out. That was Les Wexner's lawyer leaning over and saying, I'll effing kill you if you answer another question with more than five words, okay? Now, devil's advocate, steel manning this. Best possible outcome. Maybe that sounds like something friends would say to one another. Right? If I, you know, say, I will kill you if you do that again. I'm talking to a friend of mine. It's like, obviously, I'm not really going to kill him. But, you know, we're talking about international spy rings here. We're talking about a tranche of documents that includes several references to murder and torture and death. So maybe not the most appropriate joke for a lawyer to make in this instance. Maybe could have gotten that message across a different way. Let's try to keep our answers short, all right? But no, I'll effing kill you if you use more than five words. Answer the question. Okay, a little weird. That's a little weird. Now, apparently he answered questions about Trump. We heard the Democrat lawmakers reference this answer yesterday. Now we have the answer itself. I was ridiculing it because it was like, Trump was at a Victoria's Secret's fashion show. What was he doing there? Whatever could he have been doing there? Isn't that suspicious? It's like, no, not really. Not really at all, actually. It's a major event in New York City where he's a prominent celebrity, public figure with industry connections to your whole thing. Like, that's not suspicious at all. But that was just going off the recollections of the Democrats. So let's see what Les Wexner himself had to say when he was asked about Donald Trump.
I would go to some of the Victoria's Secret fashion shows because they're very important to the brand. At some of the fashion shows, Jeffrey was there and some Trump was there. And I remember because Trump would always introduce himself to me. And I always thought it was kind of odd that he was at the fashion show because he had nothing to do with fashion.
So that's what they got out of Les Wexner. Les Wexner, who was deeply intertwined with Jeffrey Epstein to a degree that's inextricable, right? There is no Jeffrey Epstein if there's not a Les Wexner. He was the progenitor of the entire Jeffrey Epstein phenomenon. So you'd think that he'd be involved in anybody Jeffrey Epstein was involved in. The Democrats go out of their way to ask him a question about Donald Trump, thinking that he has something. All he has is, well, he was at Victoria's Secret fashion shows sometimes, and I thought that was weird because he wasn't involved in the fashion industry. You think everybody at a Victoria's Secret show is in a fashion industry? You think it's weird that a high-profile celebrity would accept an invitation to a major or prominent public event? You have nothing. There's nothing suspicious about Donald Trump being at a fashion show. But that's all they got, apparently. That's so, again, in my word, and people like get mad at me, like as if I'm, you know, covering up for Trump. It's like my interpretation of this is once again another intimate of Jeffrey Epstein and a alleged co-conspirator of Jeffrey Epstein, all but exonerates Donald Trump under oath. If that's the worst they got is that sometimes he was at a Victoria's Secret fashion show and would introduce himself, then you have nothing. So, yeah, I don't know what if he'd said instead, oh yeah, you know, Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump were just palling around all the time, then I'd report that. But that's not what he said. He said he never saw him, and when he did see him, it was in a public place that it's perfectly reasonable for him to be there. So to me, that's yet another Epstein associate, once again, having no choice but to clear Trump's name, even though he's obviously trying not to, even though he's trying to make very normal behavior, going to a fashion show, seem suspicious by being like, but he didn't have any reason to be there. Okay, great. So you tell me, I mean, I don't know if he said something else, I'd cover that. But I'm just telling you the facts. So Donald Trump exonerated once again, associates of Epstein who were intimately involved in everything he did have no ability to tie Trump to the misbehavior. And the thing is, I know we haven't gotten all the documents by a long shot. We have like less than 1% of everything we know that they've captured in one raid, let alone all of it. Apparently Iran, I don't know if it was official or not, but the rumor was and the statement was that supposedly the leadership of Iran said if we get attacked, we'll release video we have of Trump with an underage person. I don't know if that's true. Like, you understand, my position is very clear and simple, and if something comes out where Trump is proven to have been engaged in bad behavior, it will not be a heel turn for me to accept it. Because my position as it stands now is there is no evidence to tie Trump to Epstein. I have looked, and all of the evidence I have ever seen tell me that Donald Trump was not involved in the bad stuff Epstein was doing, that he was not involved with children, that he was not okay with it, that he did not know what was going on and try to cover it up. That's all I've seen. All of the evidence I've seen has pointed me in that direction. Now, if new evidence comes up, that's not going to change the evidence that exists out right now, retrospectively. It would put it in a new context, maybe. But right now, I have a plethora of information, a plethora of examples or instances I can reference about Donald Trump not being involved with Jeffrey Epstein. So that's what I'm going on. I know a lot of people out there want really badly to believe that, you know, he's totally guilty. But like, we know what totally guilty looks like. It's Les Wexner. It's Steve Bannon. Like, this is the thing, again, kind of the same thing with that I feel with like Alex Jones sometimes, where people go, oh, he's, you know, he's a Mossad agent. He's working for Israel. And it's like, guys, take somebody that you know is working for Israel, like Ben Shapiro. Take somebody that like you don't even question like that. Yeah, that's what it looks like. There are more sophisticated shades of that. But take somebody like Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, you know, even to a lesser degree, with people like Jack Posobiec and, you know, others like that that are tied into the intelligence community and, you know, are covering up for, hell, look, even Charlie Kirk, you know, when Donald Trump said stop talking about Epstein, the next day Charlie Kirk was on his radio show going, I'm going to stop talking about Jeffrey Epstein. I think it's time to drop it because he was instructed to. So it's like, you know what it looks like when people are compromised. Is that what it looks like with Alex Jones? Where every day he's pounding the table and saying, we got to go after these people. You got to round these people up. What the hell are you doing, Trump? You're covering up for them. If you weren't in on it before, you're in on it now. It's just absurd. You know what it looks like when people are controlled. So can you not apply that metric and, you know, judge other people by it? So same thing with Donald Trump. We know what it looks like when people are involved in this crap. Bill and Hillary Clinton aren't featured prominently in any of the new releases that we know about so far. It doesn't exonerate them. Doesn't mean that they're innocent by any means. So all I'm saying that is that if it comes out later that Donald Trump is guilty of something, it's on tape or whatever, then great. At that point, I'll accept that evidence and file it away with the rest of the evidence and, you know, change the worldview so it comports with the evidence that we have. Right now, all of the evidence that we have is that Trump wasn't in on it. So that's what I got to go with. And again, the reason I'm saying that is because people act like if you point out, like, okay, they asked about Trump and the guy had nothing, as if you're like putting your flag down going, Trump never did anything and will never do it and will never find out anything. And if anything does come out, it's a lie. Like, no, you know, if something comes out, I'll report on it. But I'm just giving you the pure facts here. He had nothing. He had absolutely nothing, this Les Wexner. But he tried. But he tried to make it sound suspicious, but it's not. So it didn't work very well. Let me know, guys, we have any more of that coming in. We got a new clip. All right, let's go to this one. Again, these are clips from the five-hour deposition that occurred yesterday. Here's Les Wexner talking about a birthday letter to Epstein. This was in the book for, I guess, his 50th birthday or something. They went around and had a bunch of his friends write him letters, and Les Wexner's letter was included. And apparently he says, yes, I did. I did write that. Let's watch.
Did you yourself write this letter to Mr. Epstein?
Sadly, I did.
Did Ms. Maxwell approach you to write this letter for Mr. Epstein's birthday?
I think the request was to write a card or a note or something for a birthday book.
And did that come from Ms. Maxwell?
I don't remember.
Mr. Wexner, would you please read the main body of the birthday note for the record, please?
I wanted to get you what you want, so here it is. Happy birthday, your friend Leslie.
And what was your understanding of what Mr. Epstein would want?
He was a bachelor, so I drew a pair of boobs.
You've...
I said, kind of a joke and offhandedly, I'd say.
Understand.
I hope you do.
You said a few times throughout this deposition today that you did not consider Mr. Epstein a friend of yours. However, you signed this letter, and I quote, your friend Leslie. Why would you sign your friend Leslie to someone you did not consider to be a friend of yours?
I don't know.
Because I'm a liar. because I was lying about not being friends with him, probably is what the answer is. So, I mean, a couple of his lies were sort of exposed there, right? So far we've heard, like, I didn't know this guy. He wasn't really my friend. I don't know how he got his hands on all my money. He stole $1.3 billion. What? I had no idea. My gosh, that's crazy. And then he's like, you know, but clearly I think he knows him pretty well. I think he seems intimately familiar with Jeffrey Epstein and what he was involved in and what he was up to. Pretty risque note to write somebody if you aren't very confident that they're going to, you know, receive it positively, right? I don't know. It seems to me like he clearly knew a lot about Jeffrey Epstein, as much as a good friend and possibly more. So sort of exposes he was lying about all that other stuff he was saying about not knowing the guy. And he was a con man and he fell for his tricks. No, I think you know him intimately well for a very long time. Your friend Leslie. Happy birthday, your friend Leslie. So... We're just going to pretend like this guy isn't just lying to our faces, I guess. Let's go to clip 20 here. This was a statement made by one of the members of Congress after the deposition. Again, it's sad that the Democrats are so outmaneuvering the Republicans on this, but not a single Republican showed up to the deposition. Here's the Democrats yesterday. Clip 20.
It's about $1 billion
that was either transferred, provided in stocks, or given directly to Mr. Epstein by Wexner. We should be very clear that the two were very close per reporting. They spent a lot of time together. Mr. Wexner admitted that he traveled to both Epstein's island as well as his other properties. Mr. Wexner also admitted that Jeffrey Epstein had access to a lot of Mr. Wexner's wealth. And when asked even simple questions, even as it relates to Mr. Epstein being the co-president of the foundation that established the area that we're in today, Mr. Wexner had little to say. In fact, it's clear that Mr. Wexner is trying to downplay how close Jeffrey Epstein and Mr. Wexner actually were. And we should be very clear that there would be no Epstein Island, there'd be no Epstein plane, there'd be no money to traffic women and girls. Mr. Epstein would not be the wealthy man he was without the support of Les Wexner. I think it's very important for us to note at this moment.
I think that's kind of the most important thing to understand. There is no Jeffrey Epstein without Les Wexner. This wasn't just a friend. This wasn't just an associate. This wasn't just a victim of his con artistry. This was his patron. This was probably his boss in the, you know, crime syndicate that they were operating together. And the man says that he's controlled by a demon. So there's that. So there's that on top of all of it. Let's go to clip number 13 here. This is one of the most overlooked files in the Epstein files. And there are many. Let's watch.
In all of the Epstein files, what is the craziest email that you feel like everybody missed?
The most interesting email is this connection of the House of Rothschild to Jeffrey Epstein. Edmond de Rothschild, at the time, was facing a problem with the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice was alleging that Edmond de Rothschild, the bank in Switzerland, was helping wealthy Americans dodge taxes. Mm. So what they decide is that they'll pay a fine. Now, to negotiate that settlement, they hire two individuals, Kathy Rumler and Jeffrey Epstein. He says, I think you will find 45.5 penalty, that's 45.5 million, legal, 10 million for legal Kathy. Fees to Kathy, me 25, all less than 80, pretty good. They paid 45.5 million to the Department of Justice. Epstein was paid 25 million to broker that deal. The reason why this puts it all together for me is you have the Rothschilds negotiating with the American Justice Department. Who do you hire? There are 10 law firms which you hire. You don't hire Jeffrey Epstein unless you're hiring him for a reason.
Yeah. Again, it's like, you know, what more do you need to know? Let's go to clip 26 here. Nancy Mace was one of the Congress people who was allowed to see a look at the unredacted files. She says it's beyond clear that Jeffrey Epstein was in close communication with a number of intel agencies. Let's watch.
You have looked at a lot of these documents, a lot of these redactions. Do you have any sense who he was working for?
Yeah, I mean, I think Israel's on the table, Mossad. I think the CIA. Some folks have said Russian, but I think it'd be very hard. I haven't seen that link yet, but I think it'd be very easy to map it to the CIA and to Israel as well. I don't think he committed suicide. I think he was murdered as well for the information and intel that he has. And somebody's covering this up. I mean, this was going back over 20 years. This goes back four presidential administrations. And the American people need to know why and who's covering up. And those that are covering up, they need to go to jail too.
Yep, absolutely. And again, it's the question is, why is Trump willing to basically burn down his own credibility to protect these scumbags around him? Maybe he is guilty. It's certainly possible. But it's just, again, I'm just shocked at how the UK is so successfully actually doing things about this, and we just can't get it done. It's absolutely infuriating. Let's go to clip 23 here. is when Democrats lie so badly that even CNN has to step in and correct them. Let's watch.
I do want to ask one thing, because the committee went to Ohio to depose Les Wexner. Obviously, that's where he's from. Why did the committee make the decision, given, you know, we've talked so much about the Clintons having to come to Washington and other witnesses or other potential people that the committee wants to speak to? Why did the committee instead travel to him in this situation?
That's a good question. So these negotiations happen with the majority. It's the same as what's happening with the Clintons. So my guess would be that the majority and Wexner's lawyers negotiated this, and he is elderly, and so the decision was made to go to Ohio. That is what's happening ultimately in the Clinton deposition next week as well, is that we are traveling to New York to conduct the interviews.
Yeah, I just think it's worth pointing out from a CNN report that shows there was that handwritten note from the Justice Department that shows an investigator talked to an attorney for Les Wexner actually in 2007, who said his client was advanced in age and has no interaction with his money manager. Of course, that was when Les Wexner was in his late 60s and was still the company, the CEO of the company Limited Brands, which he did for about 10 more years. And obviously that was 20 years ago. Congresswoman, thank you for joining us tonight, for telling us what happened inside the room. And obviously we will look forward to speaking to you again as this investigation goes on. Did anyone ask him why he thinks he was listed as a co-conspirator in a Justice Department document?
Essentially, yes. I mean, people asked him if he's familiar with various allegations made in the files, including the one from Virginia Giuffre. He said he wasn't really familiar. He'd become familiar in recent weeks in preparation for this deposition. He was asked, what knowledge he may have had of any of Epstein's, you know, wrongdoings or any of that, and he completely denied that. But what I will say, I think, was the most revealing part of today's deposition, because he was not giving us much information. But when we did ask him, you know, you were in fact mentioned, sir, in the Epstein files. Your name comes up a lot, and you're listed as a possible co-conspirator with these allegations. Has the DOJ ever talked to you, or have the FBI ever come to question you? And he said no. And that was shocking to all of us, because when you think of Jeffrey Epstein, you think of Les Wexner. I mean, there is no name that I have heard more from the victims after I hear about, you know, Ghislaine and Jeffrey himself than Les Wexner, because they say follow the money. So the fact that the Department of Justice has not investigated this, I think, further points to the cover-up from this administration, the fact that either Pam Bondi is completely incompetent at doing her job, which is the nicest version way of saying it, or she is purposefully and intentionally avoiding investigating some of the most important people in this case.
Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months, where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X, for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, because is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, 13 stars, around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever, hey, Patriots know. And it's just exciting, spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, become a VIP for $30 a month. You cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. You don't want it to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel anytime. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach new people, and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead.
Welcome back, folks. Third hour of the War Room is on. Jasmine Crockett was one of the Democrats questioning Les Wexner yesterday. She spent a good 5 minutes trying to get him to say that Donald Trump was involved. We're going to go to that full questioning here for the first 5 minutes, and we'll be joined in studio by Paul Bondar on the other side. Stay with us. Here's Jasmine Crockett questioning Les Wexner. Clip 52.
Did you ever spend time with Epstein and Donald Trump?
Together?
Yes.
I would answer this question accurately. I would go to some of the Victoria's Secret fashion shows because it's very important to the brand. At some of the fashion shows, Jeffrey was there and some Trump was there. And I remember, because Trump would always introduce himself to me. And I always thought it was kind of odd that he was at the fashion show because he had nothing to do with fashion. So the coincidence of them being together at an event, it could have been that, but I have no specific recollection. I never had a social or like a drink or a cup of coffee, something, you know, that would put them together.
Okay, so just to clarify, because I want to make sure we're clear on the record, you're saying that you can recall instances potentially where Epstein and Trump were together and you were in their presence, or just a random scenario where Epstein may be there, Trump may be there separately, and then you would go?
It would be at random. That would be accurate. If it happened, but I have no specific recollection.
Okay. Did you ever see or become aware of President Trump having a sexual relationship with a person who was introduced to him by Epstein or Maxwell?
No.
Has Donald Trump ever discussed Jeffrey Epstein with you?
No.
Did Jeffrey Epstein ever discuss Donald Trump with you?
I would describe it, he would name drop it. So he would say things like, I know President Clinton, or I know the Pope, or I know God, or, you know, or I know you. It was that kind of name dropping, but never, I can't remember a specific place, but Jeffrey dropped a lot of names.
Okay. So to clarify, you believe he's specifically dropped Donald Trump's name?
No, I'm saying it could have, and I don't remember.
Okay. Did Epstein ever share any information with you about Donald Trump's sexual activities?
No.
Do you have a relationship with Donald Trump?
No.
But you've met him before.
He introduced himself to me at the fashion show a couple of times, but I wouldn't say, hello, how are you? Like you say, met, like in, we knew each other. We don't know each other. I'd be shocked if he remembered me.
Okay. And I know that you specifically mentioned the island, that you have been to Jeffrey's island. Do you recall seeing any of those persons that Jeffrey Epstein name dropped while you were on his island?
No, nobody was there but Abigail, myself, Jeffrey, maybe I had somebody cutting grass or something. There was a maintenance person, I think, but I don't specifically recall. I know for sure I was there. Abigail was there. Jeffrey was there.
And there wasn't anything abnormal about the appearance of the home on the island or, and the reason that I asked, just to give you clarification of what I mean by, abnormal, we've heard reports of people being thrown off when they walked into his home in New York because there was a massage table that was just sitting randomly in the middle of a room. Did you see anything like that when you visited any property?
Thanks for all your support. Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, when you get 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. And it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. It's simple, it's clean, and it's just exciting, and it spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexshowstore.com.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday evening, and I'm joined in studio now by Paul Bondar. You can follow him at ElectBondar on X, electbondar.com. You're also on Instagram at RealPaulBondar and Facebook, Paul Bondar. You're a Texas businessman, former Division I football standout, family man, and America First conservative who's running for Congress in Texas's 32nd district. Paul, thank you so much for being here.
Harrison, thank you. I'm so pleased and honored to be here with you.
Well, it's my pleasure. And this is a local race, but it has national implications and a national character to it. I know we were talking about before the show. Tell us why it's important for everybody listening right now to understand what's going on in Texas's 32nd district.
Well, I ran as a candidate because, quite frankly, I'm sick and tired of shams, scams, and I'm running to drain the swamp. And people have got to realize that stealing elections is not just happening in woke blue cities where you have ridiculous ballot drop boxes and no voter ID. I'm going to tell you, it's happening in Texas right now. We need to have voter integrity, and I'm calling for voter integrity. I'll give you a case in point how this relates. I got an opponent that looks great on paper, but once you start looking at things, the guy lives on the shadow of the Oklahoma border. He's 75 miles outside of the district. He sued a guy last time he lost a race for a guy not living in district, and now he's turning around and running 75 miles out of this district. And then lo and behold, we look at where the funding is coming from, and it's 1.1, just under 1.1 last time I checked, in PAC money, and we have no idea who's behind this PAC money. And it's mostly being media buys through shell corps or different corporations from the D.C. Beltline and Pennsylvania, and Delaware. So I got to ask the public, for a seventh generation Texan and for the people of CD32, how do you feel about your race being decided by money that we have no idea who's behind? Shouldn't we have election transparency? Shouldn't we at least know that if somebody's getting money to back them, who's backing them?
Yeah.
We have no idea. And this is a systemic problem. And case in point, I'll take it even one step further. On February 3rd, he had a big fundraiser, and the special guest is Peter Thiel.
Mm.
And Peter Thiel is linked in I don't know how many names with the Epstein files, and that's kind of a big deal right now. If you want your rep, who has really not two nickels of his own to rub together, he says, and he's being funded by people that we don't know who, and Peter Thiel is now throwing personal fundraisers for this particular candidate, Jace Yarborough, to get him help get him elected, who's now in the Epstein files. Harrison, I'm sick and tired of the shams and the scams. And as somebody who actually lives in this district, I'm putting my own money on the line to fight because, frankly, the American people are insulted with this. We've already had one election be stolen in 2020, and there's meddling going on in the congressional elections, and this is Soros 2.0, if you ask my personal opinion.
Mm. Yeah, it's tricky now because it clearly the powers that be decided that running MAGA candidates was a good way to hijack the MAGA spirit and the populist uprising. They couldn't really contain it, so I think now they're trying to infiltrate it, and yet they're being very successful in this. I'm sort of shocked at how successful they have in a way kind of shattered the MAGA coalition with these big tech guys and pushing stuff that regular Americans don't want. How do we fight back against this, and how do we determine who's a real MAGA patriot and who is just putting on the costume because they know it wins elections?
Yeah, putting on the costume. Who's a wolf in sheep's clothing?
Right.
Why is it that everybody said, oh, we had such high hopes for this person, but they changed when they got to D.C.? Well, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? They didn't change when they got to D.C. They brokered a deal to get their sorry butts to D.C., And they already sold their soul out, and that's how a lot of our political officials are getting elected. I'm just going to say this. I'm calling for election transparency. If you're proud of the money, and he's already been caught lying on video. I've already called him out on it. He says, well, this money is all coming from my endorsements. Bull crap. Don't insult us. This guy's the biggest name dropper in town. He loves to talk about everybody that he knows. If this money, this million-plus dollars, was coming from friendly people that were mega Republicans, he'd be having an airplane dotting the skies and telling everybody. But when money is not known, this is what is the root of the evil in our country.
Yeah.
This is the subversive hand, the systemic problem. It happens all the time with the Democrats. Unfortunately, it's not good enough to control one political party. Now it's happening on the Republican side as well. And so the people that really want to be the tech bros, that want to run the government, that want to be able to put a person in place that's going to be a person that's going to be their puppet, find a candidate that doesn't have resources that they can then control and put into a seat. It's nothing new, but it's become very common lately.
Yeah.
And I'm blowing the whistle on it because this is why we're losing our republic. This is why we're losing our country. This is why a mega party. I'm worried about the mega. I'm worried about the Republican Party.
Yeah.
We're at a crossroads right now. And I'll say this. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. We have got to protect kids in this country. If you're abusing children, you should go to jail. If you're seriously abusing kids, capital punishment. And I don't care what political party it is. And I'm really concerned for President Trump because, once again, he's got people in his cabinet that are letting him down. Pam Bondi, if he can't get the job done, I'm a big fan. I was like, yeah, Florida, Pam Bondi, you are great. Let's go. Let's rock and roll. I wanted Anthony Fauci to get justice for the genocide of COVID-19. I wanted the rock and roll, and we were going to get the election integrity for 2020. We're finally going to take, and nothing's happening. And I tell you what, it's a lot of big hat and no cattle, and the people in Texas, we're all getting a little bit restless because there's been a lot of talk and no action.
Absolutely, and it's like what is happening with Trump? I think is my big question, because whether it's the Epstein thing or, you know, just the fact that everything you're saying is what Trump originally ran on in 2016. It's why people liked him. He wasn't taking other people's money. He couldn't be bought out. Everybody else was for sale, but he wasn't. It seems like all of that is flipped. He was the champion saying you would release Epstein. That flipped completely. It just seems like MAGA has gone completely off the rails, and it's a lot of this outside money that's causing that. And I don't know, like, what do we do about this? Because you say the republic's going down. It's like it's already so broken it's like not even functional, right? The idea is that you're supposed to elect people that are like prominent figures in your community who can represent you and your interests. Instead, you got this puppet, and they're both controlled by billionaires who God only knows where they live. I don't even think they have homes. Most of the time they're on yachts or in some sort of cryogenic chamber or something. These people don't seem human to me half the time. But that's obviously completely knocked our system off the rails as well, and in a way that makes it impossible for us to even elect the right people to fix it. It's
our government has been hijacked.
Right.
Bottom line, drop the microphone. Sorry. Democracy right now, it's a sham and it's a scam. And I'm sorry. We saw a stolen election, but guess what? That is like what's going on in Minnesota. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yep.
These local races, these congressional races that people don't pay too much attention to. And, you know, unfortunately, I see a lot of candidates and they just kind of go along with the system and they're just going to go to the forums and they're just going to be just led like sheep down the path. Well, you know what I say? Bullshit. It's time we fight back. And win or lose, Paul Bondar is not going to allow the people in our district where I live to elect a guy who's a carpetbagger, living an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on traffic. He needs to take a plane to get to the east part of the district, being put up by a bunch of proxy money. And that's what it is. And if it's not, as I told him a couple nights ago, to quote Jerry Maguire, show us the money.
Mm.
Show us the money. This yeah. super PAC dark money is a scam. And until we fix that, we're going to live in a broken system, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's tough because on paper, somebody like J.C. Yarbrough looks really good. He looks, really MAGA. Donald Trump endorsed him. But again, Donald Trump is endorsing all sorts of crazy people out there right now. Oh. And so again, it's like they have figured out, okay, we at least have to cloak ourselves in MAGA if we want any chance to win. Again, like for viewers out there that they don't know you personally, they don't know Jay's personally, like how do you determine the truth and lies? How do you determine who's a real wolf in sheep's clothing?
Well, first of all, you have to look at actions. The media and the packaging, I told a lot of people, if this was a beauty pageant, I'd be the first one voted out probably. Right? You have so many candidates that are so packaged so well. But the reason I had clients that would literally, I never worried about being liked by my clients. And I started my company up in 2008 during the Obama nightmare recession. And I started it with one employee and I was going to make $30,000 a year. And I slept on my couch the first month because I didn't have money to go live in an apartment. So literally I have people that wanted to say, I'd like to write a book about your life because you are a meritocracy. And I grew up from a very small home. Father was a police officer. Mom was a stay-at-home mother. My grandfather served in World War II. He fought in 23 major battles. Ooh. He was awarded the Silver Star. There were 2,000 men around him in his battalion. He was one of 9 of 2,000 to live.
Wow.
So let me just put that in context. He saw 1,991 men around him die in the pursuit of freedom.
Right.
And growing up, he told me the same thing that I grew up with. My grandfather and Ronald Reagan, we are one generation away from losing freedom. Right. We have got to fight like heck. We have got to fight to protect this freedom. And I think it's absolutely a system right now where our government has been taken over by influence, super PACs, and we've got to fix this. Now, as a businessman, I never worried about being liked. I was loved by my clients because you know what? They knew that I wasn't telling them what they wanted to hear. I had their back and I performed. And sometimes I would tell them the things they didn't want to hear.
Right.
And they would get on planes eventually and they would come and have steak dinners with me as their vendor. They would come see me and seek me out and I'd have a steak dinner with them and I'd save their companies. I made a lot of people into multimillionaires being right. It's time somebody is right for our district. And to have a shill plant from the deep state that lives 75 miles away being pushed with every endorsement. Now, I'm not going to blame Donald Trump because as a businessman, I know something. You delegate things. Donald Trump has got more important things to do than worry about handing out congressional and state endorsements. As a matter of fact, he just gave a tweet about this recently. SD9 was a special election. And the Republican was in a plus 17. We were supposed to just bury this, just like our race here. It's a plus 17 in CD32. It's like a 30-point swing, and the Democrat ended up winning this race. And Donald Trump said, hey, I don't even know this person who I endorsed. So I get it. As a businessman, I would delegate my endorsements sometimes. You know, I would delegate certain things to my staff. But what I'm saying is, come on, staff. We got to support our president a little bit better and get it together. It's either that or, you know, we got some folks with some influence or helping to finagle those endorsements, maybe just a little bit.
A little bit. And again, you know, I love Trump and I'm on Trump's team. I want him to succeed, but you see the way that he goes after Marjorie Taylor Greene or Thomas Massie. And to a degree, I'm disappointed in Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's like, it's going to be a fight, but you got to be in it for the long run. It seems like Republicans just don't have the fire. They don't have the fight. We're not willing to go for it in the long term. How do we light that fire in people?
Well, I think sometimes, what all I'm hearing in politics is fight, fight, fight. The problem we have is we have a soulless nation that our nation was built on work. And in D.C., that's a word I never hear. That's a four-letter word you never hear in D.C. Never do you hear somebody say, you sure they hear him say fight, but never do I say I'm going to go and work. And as a guy who worked his way out of a 900-square-foot house to be able to get a Division I football scholarship, with my teammate, by the way, who became the Dallas quarterback for about 15 years, who should be a Hall of Famer. Tony Romo should be a Hall of Famer, by the way. The great man, great Christian. We came out of a small town together, right? We worked our way out of this town. I started my company with nothing. And to be able to have the biggest companies eventually say, Paul, we'd rather buy you out because you're taking millions of dollars of market share away from us. And it's easier for us to work with you. We want your intellectual capital to help us and to get to kind of that. And this is America, right? That is the American story. That's what we need to do in D.C. But instead, you know what we have, Harrison? We got a bunch of grifters. We got a bunch of leeches. And we got them on both sides of the party. And I'm sorry if this offends you, but it's the truth. And the American people deserve better. And is my number one obligation when people say, Paul, why are you going to be different? I'm going to represent the people within my district. My people come first. That's my lane. That's my duty. Just like when I was a businessman, my client's obligation came first. And I didn't worry about being liked by them, but I was loved by them because I knew my heart was for them.
You know, that goes into everything that we've been talking about today with. So we were talking for a long time about this spill in the Potomac and just this idea that leftists and Democrats, they get into office and they just don't even pretend to care about being competent in what they're supposed to be doing. They just take the power and use it to try to progress their own political agenda. And I'm just laughing at your description of politicians because I put that all the time. They'll come out to the podium and they'll say, we've been working so hard. We've been working hard on this. And you think like, well, okay, all you were doing was sitting around a meeting room deciding how much of other people's money to spend. Was that really working? Was that really so strenuous for you?
Yeah, like the car salesman that says, let me go back to my manager and I got you the best deal ever. Well, there was no manager back in that empty room and the American people see it and we're sick and tired. And that's why I'm running with my money because just like my grandfather, I'm fighting for freedom because I'm so disgusted with what I see. And if somebody doesn't do something soon to try to stop the way the system is going, we're not going to have a country economically, socially, or culturally.
Yeah.
And that's where we are.
And a lot of people don't even think it's possible to vote our way out of this now. And I sort of day by day, I'm like, it's over, we're done. And it's like, no, we have hope. We have to cling on. Is it even possible to vote our way out of this? Is it possible to get back on track if we elect the right people?
Well, I'll let you know after my race. Because on paper, I mean, I'm one of the only candidates that has the resources. I live in the district. I have the accolades. But yet, a guy that lives three times closer to the shadow of the Oklahoma border is being pushed than somebody who actually lives in the district in Harrison. That's another thing. How can anybody ask somebody to vote for them when they can't even vote for themselves?
Right.
And if your family doesn't live in the district, you don't have skin in the game. And I think the problem with D.C. is it's a soulless pit. It's a soulless, soulless pit where it's all about do as I say, not as I do. It's thee and not me. And we saw this during COVID. People had a separate set of rules in D.C. than what they had for everybody else. And the American people have got to make a decision. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting things to change. Now, in this particular case, this other candidate is packaged pretty nicely. He's got about 12 talking points, which are pretty much polished and rehearsed, I'm sure, time and time again over the mirror. It's like, okay, this is this answer. I got scar tissue. I'm a fighter. Let's go on offense. I like to drive around at Stanford in my pickup truck. I mean, I can tell you his whole thing, lock, stock, and barrel. It's a whole routine. But the voters, unfortunately, the problem is we don't have a lot of voter attention. And so they just get little sound bites. They look for little cues. And it's like, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that name looks familiar. I'll vote there. Yeah. And that's why we're losing our freedom. And yeah, that's why we're losing our country.
Well, and it does just seem like the system is so well established to do exactly what it's supposed to do, which is keep any of the people that would bring about change, keep them away from any levers of power that would actually facilitate that. And again, it's just, it's the endless frustration that I have as a MAGA voter, as a conservative, knowing that we do our part, we get the votes, we get them over the line, and then just nothing happens when they're in office. And there's just nothing we can do about it except for try again next time. And it's like, how do we break this cycle?
Well, eventually, I think, you know, when you're a monopoly, why do you have to do anything differently? The government right. is not a company. You know, and I lived in the business world. If I didn't perform and I didn't do what I was supposed to do, I would lose my account, right? I would lose. There's a consequence. What consequence does the government have? They don't have to do a daggone thing. And especially when you have people with influence to be able to control the elections and to get the folks elected that they want to get elected. Well, if that's the case, you're going to get crappy service. You're going to get bad results and you're not going to get prosecutions and you're not going to get the Epstein files opened up. And you're going to continue to get people that are connected with the Epstein files to support candidates that they want to get in office. Because I think that there's what would we call that? That's a conflict of, not conflict of interest, but a shared value. If somebody's connected with the Epstein files, maybe you'll want to make sure you get your dog in the hunt.
Yeah.
To take care of you. I'm just wondering. I'm not saying I am thinking, questioning that.
Yeah. Well, no, the Epstein files are kind of like the biggest scandal in the history of the world a little bit. Like, I can't think of a bigger scandal than what has been revealed in the Epstein files. And, you know, I keep saying we can't, like, let that drive us crazy, because I think there are a lot of, communists out there that are like, see, it's capitalism. We have to throw it all out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But even worse than that would be nothing comes of this. None of the people that have been exposed go to jail. No systemic change. Make sure that we correct some of the things revealed in the Epstein file. And it seems like that's what is happening right now, is just, we're not going to react too strongly, and it's kind of a hoax. Don't worry about it. That's totally unacceptable. The voters aren't going to accept this. What would be your advice for the Trump administration on how to deal with the Epstein files as they exist right now?
I think the Trump administration has to, you know, Donald Trump, if you're being held hostage somehow by somebody, blink twice.
Right.
I've been a Trump supporter since 2015 when I saw, I think it was a 60 Minutes interview after maybe a football game, and my wife said, here he is. You know, this guy is running for president. And he was a New Yorker. And I thought, apprentice guy. But I gave him a chance. And I listened to him. My wife said, wow, hey, that sounds like something you would say, but nobody else says. And I said, right. Yeah, it does. It's pretty good. And then, I can't believe he said that. That was the Donald Trump that we all fell in love with.
Yep.
The Donald Trump that we fell in love with was the guy that would flip the money table. You know, Jesus
yep.
Christ, the most important thing that they don't want to teach straight white males, especially in this country, is that Jesus Christ was not a wimp. Jesus Christ was crucified because he was willing to confront the establishment. And when he flipped the money tables, he confronted and created political upheaval, economic upheaval. Well, that's what we loved about Donald Trump. He was my guy. And right now, I think a lot of Americans are saying, we still need you, President Trump, but the people around President Trump seem to be letting us down, and we seem to be a ship without a rudder right now,
right.
where we're not moving forward on these issues. And we haven't lost faith, but we're just saying, the good folks in Texas are saying, let's go.
Yeah.
We need direction. We need to have this Epstein file get cleaned up, or if not, the Democrats are going to clean our clock in November.
Yeah,
we have got to get our hands around this.
And as soon as that happens, it's over for the Trump administration. I mean, it's impeachment and filibusters, and nothing gets done from that point on. So I think you're exactly right. And the difficult part is when we appeal to Trump going, dude, we love you, we need you right now, that gets twisted and interpreted into they're attacking Trump and they're falling for a Democrat hoax. And it's like, how do we break through that that firewall to actually get to the truth? Again, my guest is Paul Bondar. You can follow him on X at electbondar, electbondar.com, on Instagram at realpaulbondar. We'll be right back. He's running in Texas 32nd District. More on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks. It's a war room, Infowars.com.
Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months, where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle. You get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. every order in the site for a very limited time. It's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, because is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. Notice everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, what, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever. Hey, Patriots know. And it's just exciting. Spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for 30 bucks, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. You don't want to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach new people, and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead. One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. Out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com, and thanks for keeping us on the air. Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there. Ah! Yeah! I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultra methylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I'm curious about a guy named Peter Thiel who co-founded PayPal, built the CIA surveillance system, installed a vice president, took $40 million from Jeffrey Epstein, and has openly said democracy doesn't work. And I'm curious why that's not on the news every single night. Thiel co-founded PayPal with Elon Musk, sold it to eBay for $1.5 billion, and in 2003 he started a company called Palantir, named after the Seeing Stones in Lord of the Rings, the ones the Dark Lord Sauron used to spy on everyone and corrupt anyone who touched them. And he named a surveillance company after that on purpose. Most villains at least try to be subtle. The CIA gave Palantir its first investment through a fund called InQtel that has received $1.2 billion of your tax dollars since 2011. So we help fund a surveillance company that now charges the government nearly $1 billion a year to use our own data against us. We paid to build the thing that watches us. Cool, Palantir builds the software that the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, and ICE all use to track people, and ICE paid them $30 million something called Immigration OS. It pulls your passport, your social security number, your tax records, your license plate scans, and gives you a score like a credit score, but for whether you get deported. The Israeli military uses Palantir's AI to identify targets in Gaza. UN report found it was used in what they called unlawful use of force, causing mass civilian casualties. This is a company launch with your tax dollars being used to decide who lives and who doesn't. Thiel has said in writing that he doesn't believe freedom and democracy are compatible. He follows a philosophy called the Dark Enlightenment that says democracy is a failed experiment. Society should be run like a corporation with a CEO king at the top. A government is supposed to work for the people. We literally invented this country on that idea, and he wants to replace it with a subscription. We never agreed to that. We can't cancel one of his side quests.
All right, folks. I just wanted to let that play and play. That is from a TikTok called never_stop_asking.
Mm.
That was brilliant. My guest, Paul Bondar, brought that in. I was like, yeah, we'll play 30 seconds of it in a minute or so. And I'm like, it's too good. I just wanted to keep letting it play. That was, absolutely fantastic. So I'm in studio with Paul Bondar. He's a Texas businessman, a former Division I football standout. He's running for Congress in Texas's 32nd district. Let me say that again. He's running for Congress in Texas's 32nd district. And of course he is, calling out his opponent who, and we can see here if we go to Doc Cam, just was provided a fundraiser by Peter Thiel where they charge people $7,000 per couple to eat dinner with him. And, you know, Peter Thiel is one of these guys that when he came over to the MAGA, you know, into the spectrum, a lot of people embraced him. A lot of people were happy to have somebody with his wealth and influence and, you know, strategic acumen on the team. However, it seems like everything he touches gets poisoned a little bit. And it looks like a lot of the MAGA base is not so happy to see Peter Thiel involved in things. And a lot of people, you know, J.D. Vance is supposed to be the sort of shoe-in to follow Donald Trump. But the fact that Peter Thiel helped sort of bring him up from the beginning has a lot of people soured on him. What is your take on Peter Thiel? Good guy, bad guy, pure, you know, opportunist?
I will say I have no comment. I'll let his life work speak for itself. If he likes, I guess he likes surveillance.
It's been very profitable for him.
If he likes surveillance, if he likes deep state things. You know, everybody's got an appetite for different things. For me, I like old fashioned values, freedom and American sovereignty and being able to have, fair and free elections that are not funded by dark money and $7,000 plates to jumpstart a failed campaign and to push a bunch of proxy endorsements so you can get a puppet that you can utilize. And if, you know, if that's your appetite though, I know there are people that like that kind of thing. We're in a very diverse world. You know, the Democrats tell us diversity is a wonderful thing. I've always said unity is a better thing, though.
Mm-hmm. Harmony. Harmony is even better than discord, I think. We can be different, but we want to all be on the same page and in the same key and on the same beat, right? But we don't want everybody to be exactly the same. But again, it's like Peter Thiel is clearly sort of setting himself up as the shadow puppet master of new MAGA, whatever this new form of MAGA is that seems to have diverged pretty significantly from what it used to be. And, you know, again, people want to act like this is people hating Trump, but no, we love Trump and he's gone off the rails. What do we do?
Well, I think, you know, people are familiar with what George Soros has done.
Yep.
Do you see much of a distinction in some of the similarities with getting involved in these elections and not having transparencies on these super PACs?
Yeah.
I would just like to know who's behind these funds. And I think that's a flaw with our election integrity. And we have got to, if we're going to fix this country, I go back to what I said, I'm going to stay consistent. You follow the money. Money is what makes the world go round. I hate to say it. It really is true. When you have somebody putting and investing heavily into a candidate and you don't know who those people are, your next candidate is Congressman Dark Money.
Yep.
And I don't care how pretty the package is and how nice the words sound. We've been lied to, Harrison, enough. I mean, time and time again. And here's the thing. If I'm going to be your next congressman, any congressman has to have the courage and the spine to stand up in a campaign and say, this is bunk, this is bull, and I'm going to defend my people, my district. I don't care if it's uncomfortable. It's a little uncomfortable to go on offense. But if we don't, we're going to lose this country. And as I see it, this is the kind of horse crap that goes around in our campaigns, which should not be permitted, should be illegal. And until somebody has the courage to stop it, it's going to continue. And if you don't have a congressman willing to call it out, how good are they going to be defending you on Capitol Hill?
Yeah. And it seems like now with Republicans especially, there's this, there's almost an unspoken debate going on where it's like, okay, do we sort of take what we can get because like we just need somebody fighting for us and hey, they might not be perfect, but they're the best option we have? Or do we really put our foot down and go, no, if they're not 100% on board, then we're not going to stand for it? Because, you know, somebody can be 90% MAGA. They can be 90% on our side. That 10% can be the make or break. That can be the difference. That can be whether they stand up, you know, at the moment of importance, or whether they, you know, roll over at that crucial moment. So I'm sort of on the side of like, I don't care if you're 90% with us. You need to be 100% with us, because what happens is that 10% is aligned throughout all of them. So, you know, you have different views, but they all align on Israel, or they all align on, data centers. How much do you think data centers plays into, Peter Thiel's interests all over the country?
Well, I think it's extremely important. I think it definitely, you know, I mean, there's an old saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely. What's your next step? When you just, you know, people keep looking for their next conquest, right? And I really don't think it's about who lines up the most with views, because if you really have somebody that's packaged as a candidate, and even if that's a good candidate, let's give some grace here. Let's say it is a good candidate, but if that candidate is controlled by somebody that set them up to go into power, they can say all the things they want to say. It comes down to who are they going to vote for and on what bills. They're going to be beholden not to the people, but to the people that put them in power. And that's why you don't have congressmen and senators and folks coming back, and people feel like they don't have the attention they deserve, and they feel like we are living in a monopolistic government state, because guess what we are?
Yeah.
Guess what we are? The people really don't have as much influence on the elections as you think, because you're given a choice between Coke or Pepsi, but either way, most of the time, you're drinking cola.
Right. Well, really, it's like Coke and Diet Coke, but the same company owns them both, right?
Yeah, so, right. Maybe even worse than what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so strange that there are certain topics that like really isn't even a party issue. All of America agrees. 90%+ of America doesn't want to go to war with Iran. 75% of Democrats and 90% of Republicans both want voter ID. And yet it's these things that the government fails to deliver. Well, how can we not get this done? If we are at all democratic, it should be these overwhelmingly popular things that our government represents. But instead, we're just told, no, this is the way it's going to be, and you have to take it.
Because behind every problem is actually the government. And the government's resolve to fail to solve problems so they can lip serve to continue to try to solve them gives them a job. If we had no problems in the world, we wouldn't have any news cycles, and we wouldn't have any conflict and debate of real substance. And so you have to, in the words of Hillary Clinton, you can never let a good crisis go to waste.
Right.
Why do we not have a border closing under Joe Biden? Because they didn't want to. That's right. The answer. We can fix these problems. They say the wall doesn't work. Well, I guess what? The wall in Berlin worked really well for like about 45, 50 years, 40 some years. We can fix these problems. But government creates the problem. And it's no different. Some of your viewers might remember this, the show Green Acres. You remember Mr. Haney? He'd give you the best deal to Oliver, right? He'd sell him a tractor for like $10, but the tractor wouldn't have a key. And to get the key, it was like $30,000. This is our government, ladies and gentlemen, in a nutshell. They offer us something that looks really to be a great deal, but when it's all said and done, the solution is going to cost you so much beyond what you're willing to pay for or could ever expect, as far as freedom and liberty and other different things, or maybe financial wealth because of inflation and other issues we can talk about.
Yeah, I want to get into all of that. This was the story I've been looking for here from today. DHS opens $1 billion tab with Palantir. So, you know, obviously helping to fund some of these races is paying off dividends for Palantir. The Department of Homeland Security struck a $1 billion purchasing agreement with Palantir last week, further reinforcing the software company's role in the federal agency that oversees the nation's immigration enforcement. Actually, I had another story where Palantir just got access to a ton of here it is. Palantir gets millions of dollars from New York City's public hospitals. New York City's public hospital system is paying millions to Palantir, the controversial ICE and military contractor, according to documents obtained by The Intercept. Since 2023, New York City Health and Hospital Corporations has paid Palantir nearly $4 million to improve its ability to track down payments and service provided. So, like, how do we fight back against it? It seems like Palantir and other companies, but Palantir is sort of the premier example, just insinuating themselves, AI companies insinuating themselves into data collection and healthcare and weapons manufacturing. And it's build back better. It's the, you know, great reset on steroids, the public-private partnership, which means that they're able to violate your rights because a private company is doing it, not the government. It's just, it's relentless. And it seems like they're just capturing more and more.
And who owns Palantir again? Who's on the company?
Peter Thiel, I think, and Alex Karp, the very stable genius, Alex Karp.
Oh, the guy backing the candidate. Oh, interesting. This has got to be a guy we got to get behind to vote for because this is an American guy with American cause. Interesting how our elections are decided, ladies and gentlemen, through the shell corps of, here it is here. Is it GRBG? Yeah, GPR Buying Corp, Ballast Corp, Darby House. Interesting things. $1.1 million. Nobody knows. Nobody knows who gave this money to the campaign, to the candidate. Very interesting.
Well,
but you got a very profitable company over there that's making a lot of money, and we know that.
And can bring a lot of jobs if you just help them build a database and, you know, give over half of your, you know, potable water. And then, of course, the jobs end up being from India anyway. So, and let's talk about that because Texas, is not living up to our reputation. We are absolutely failing. And frankly, it's shameful. I am ashamed of us. We are being taken over by foreigners. Like the India scam, the H-1B scam is hitting Texas harder than maybe anywhere except for Minnesota. This is another thing. Like, what can we do to reclaim our sovereignty and stop selling out our birthright and our land itself to a bunch of foreigners who want to come here and make their own little enclaves?
Well, first of all, Texas needs to always be number one in football, not mosques.
Yes.
And, you know, another
thing. Pigskins, we like to call them.
Yeah. Well, you know, another thing. I call balls and strikes as I see it. I'm not a egg-sucking dog that's trying to brown nose to get endorsements. Governor Abbott, you've done a lot of good things, but this happened under your watch. Texas is number one in mosques, and you got to do better, buddy. Governor, you got to do better on this. I'm glad you're getting on the sticks finally, and we're going to do something about it, but I'm going to be a little critical. It happened as the captain of the ship. We have a huge infiltration of Islam, and Sharia law is now a fire that's burning very, very hot, and we got to have accountability, and I'm sorry if it hurts feelings, but you know whose feelings I'm worried about? I'm worried about kids' feelings. I'm worried about residents' feelings. I'm worried about senior citizens who've been bent over every which way but sideways because we have government people not fighting for the people, working for the people, and doing right by the people, but doing whatever they're doing, and I don't know what it is, but now we have an existential threat here in Texas, and if we lose Texas, lose this country. And I'm sorry if my words are a little sharp and maybe you got to go into a safe place, people. But at some point, it's time we start speaking real and getting down to business instead of brown nosing and trying to talk about how everybody is doing a wonderful job doing the wrong things. We have to fix Sharia law and we have to outlaw. The only law that can exist in this country is the Constitution. That's it. We cannot have a de facto rogue group of people that are coming in here. And unfortunately, I don't see that much resistance. If you really want to get to the truth, this has been a NGO promotion to fund through American tax dollars this type of activity. And if you really want to peel it back, it's the globalist agenda to take away and strip our American culture, our Texas values, to reseed us and to populate us into a global community.
Yeah.
Thank you, Klaus Schwab, and you scumbags from the W World Economic Forum.
And again, the fact that it's being done with our tax money is just, you know, the insult on top of the injury. And I was going to say in the last segment, you actually used the forbidden words. You actually reference and acknowledge the existence of white men. This, you're not supposed to do that, sir. If you're going to be a politician in D.C., you're supposed to pretend that white people don't exist as a collective that you're supposed to support only when you're demonizing them. Are you ever supposed to reference
this? Listen, I think we should pay a little bit of respect to white men. If we didn't, we wouldn't have electricity. We wouldn't have an automobile. We wouldn't have a lot of things. And I'm sick and tired of the white man being the doormat of the woke liberal agenda. And woke people, if you don't like that, go fly a kite. I don't have any problem with any race. I hired people of all different creeds, colors, and ethnicities. If you're an American, I'm for you if you care about America and you want to be upwardly mobile. That's what this country is about. We're in a meritocracy, which means merit-based. And at the end of America is I can. What we got to get rid of is we got to get rid of this woke, insidious crap that puts the real, that puts division in this country. You want to talk about unity? Well, get these woke suckers the heck out of this country because they're the ones pushing division. They're the ones feeding our youth with the poison and the nonsense that if you're born a certain race, the deck is stacked against you and you can't win. And I'm here to tell you as a guy that grew up with very little, and I had people that threw garbage out the school bus window at me because I grew up in a small house and they were some rich suckers that lived down the street. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna grow up and I'm gonna make something of myself. And for a long time, I wanted to prove those people wrong. But in reality, all I had to do is prove it to myself. This is what we need to go back to in this country. We need to go back to saying the Pledge of Allegiance. We need to go back to loving our country. And if people come here, they want to work hard and they're going to come here legally. That's what America is about. If you're going to come and crash this party and come to our country and you're going to desecrate us, frankly, I think those types of people are recruited. They're not coming here on their own. It's worse than that. They're being recruited by the woke liberal arm, which acts as an extension of the globalist movement, which is here to try to strip away patriotism and the American values that we love.
Right. And it's a simple sort of algorithmic thing, right? It's like, okay, they want to demonize white people, and then they say, well, what is whiteness? Well, whiteness is all of this stuff about the Constitution and all of this concern about free speech. I mean, they literally are saying, let's demonize whiteness. What is whiteness? Oh, it's all of your freedoms. It's all the things that make you strong. It's family and faith and the nuclear family and Christianity. And so it's like, it couldn't be more clear. They're trying to demonize the things that make you strong. They're trying to force you to voluntarily give up the things that make you able to resist their coercion. It's like obvious, but they are actually attacking white people.
anybody that thinks that they're in the smooth, cool, hip, woke thing by being somewhat superior because they're what I call a person that steps on a face to climb the moral high ground. That's what they are. They'll step on someone's face to try to feel superior to somebody else because they're that insecure as a person that they have to say, well, I'm white and we're bad and this. You know what? Then you're the racist and you're the problem. The Bible talks about all of us being in the image and likeness of God. And that's what we have to remember. And we have to remember that we are all children of God, right? Now, God also talks about accountability. And we have to have accountability. And if you're a woke liberal and you're going around teaching kids about this white hate, I've got no use for you. I'm going to come after your ideologies and challenge you every step of the way. And don't think that you can shame me because guess what? I will not bend a knee to your woke garbage.
I'm just laughing over here because why don't we have more politicians like this? Like it doesn't seem that. Was that hard for you? Was that hard for you to say? I mean, you were exactly right. But it's like, where are the other politicians with just that basic humanity? Because in a weird way, it's like it's a weird inverted form of white supremacy that white people are like, yeah, we'll let everybody come in. And yeah, you know, our laws are bad. Maybe your laws are better and we'll just give up our stuff. It's like, guys, you are also vulnerable. Why are you allowing yourself to be attacked and demonized? It's not right. And you wouldn't stand for it for any other race. So
I did business with some Jewish people. I had some very good relationships with Jewish people that were survivors of the Holocaust, right? And you know what they told me? They said, we stood around and we watched things happen that we didn't like that was going on. Mm. And we didn't take action. And by the time we knew we should have, it was too late.
Right.
Let's not let that happen in this country. People, you got to find some spines. It's why I'm running for Congress with my money, because I'm fed up with it. And you've got to find your freedom. We have a Holy Spirit inside each one of us. Speak the truth. Do not allow for people to brainwash you and tell you things that are not true. And that's what the manipulation and the woke indoctrination camps that are running around in so many of these blue cities are trying to do it to our kids.
Yeah.
And why we're losing our identity.
Yeah.
And we need to go back to common sense values. And what I'm calling for is unity. That's what I'm calling for. I'm calling to say, how did we ever get here? I grew up in the 80s where, you know, Democrats and Republicans may not have agreed on everything, but we weren't trying to rip each other's faces off, and we could at least have conversations. And people like Socrates and, the great thinkers, they would say, we have an obligation to talk to the other side because they may prove that we're misconceived on issues. But we have to start having conversations. But what we can't do is we can't, as conservatives, be weak. And we can't allow for them to bully us. And we can have conversations, but we need to have them in a manner where it says, I believe in my principles.
Mm-hmm.
I respect what you may have to say, but do not expect for me to bend a knee and submit to your ideas because you are trying to bully me or censor me or kick me off of social media or have me lose my job because of something I believe.
Yep.
I think when somebody is not on the clock, they should be able to say whatever the hell they want. This is America. And if you don't like it, then somebody can disagree with it. We're big boys and girls. This is America. We should have tolerance
right.
in this country.
Real tolerance, not just the code word, kind of like real diversity, not just when it's used as a code word. No, you're exactly right. And, you know, we're running out of time, but we have one more video to go to. I really want to go to this because this is your opponent, Mr. Yarbrough, and he sort of made an accidental Freudian slip here that I think we caught him on. So let's go to this video. It's a little low quality, but it's short. Here's J.C. Yarbrough sort of admitting something that he shouldn't have said. Let's watch.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so there's a lot of candidates that's in this race.
Yes, ma'am.
Most of them live in the district. You do not live in the district.
That's correct.
So why is it that you decided to run in this district when you can't even vote for yourself?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. Most of the candidates running do not live in this district.
I was asked to run. Of course, Paul Bondar does live in the district. A little bit of a Freudian slip there from your opponent.
Recruited by who? Million plus dollars of dark money from who? You talked earlier about AI centers, rural water in Texas. It's a big issue. The mineral rights in East Texas that's a big issue. If somebody's being controlled by somebody that wants to put a data center up, how good is that going to be for the citizens of East Texas? How kind of a future and leadership do you think we're going to get looking out for their best interests by somebody who owes a favor or their entire campaign potentially to somebody that wants to open up a data center? I don't know. I don't think it's too rosy.
I don't want my elected representatives recruited by some dark force. I want them standing up like you are. Paul Bondar, go to you can follow Paul Bondar on X at electbondar, electbondar.com, on Instagram at realpaulbondar, and on Facebook, Paul Bondar as well, for Texas's 32nd district. Thanks so much for being here with us, sir.
Sure,
sir.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Amazing. We'll be right back.
Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle. You get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, because is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever. Hey, patriots know. And it's just exciting. Spreads the word. So every order on top of the sales that are already there for a limited time gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, Become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, stuff, everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. Don't want to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach the people, and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead.